Do you know what time it is?
It's about 12.
It's just after I see a movie, I like to go get a piece of pie and talk about it. It's sort of a little tradition I have. Do you like to get pie after you see a good movie?
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast, a show dedicated to love films you'd never see and most likely the test of ones that you have. I'm Oscar and with me today is...
Luke.
And...
Ralph.
Cool. This is episode number 22. Right. Burping so sucks. Anyway, today's show will consist of... part of our animation marathon, we do have our film that we're doing today, but then we're doing another animated film unrelated to the marathon, but it just happens to coincide with it. We'll be doing Perfect Blue from 1997, and last year's Your Name, although it just came out this year in the States, also another Japanese animated feature, and then we'll end our show with a review of The Circle, based on the book, starring Tom Hanks and Emma Watson. Feedback can always be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Otherpodcast.com is where you can find everything you need to know about our show, not just about us, but every catalog, every marathon, all the top tens we've done. And at PodMovieCast, where you can follow us on Twitter. And all this stuff is available on every show notes for every podcast catcher that you use to listen to us. Now, before we begin with our show this evening, we always discuss about what we've been watching, always. And we got, I'll start with myself here. I've got three movies here. One coincides with Luke, so we'll end with that one about Luke. But anyway, one is, I saw The Discovery. Has anyone heard of it?
Obviously, no.
No, I mean, it's not that obvious. It's on Netflix. It's on Netflix. Netflix bought it from Sundance, I think. It just came out on their platform. It was kind of popular when it came out.
No, I can't.
Like a month ago.
No.
It was.
Okay. A month ago is like forever ago, dude.
Right.
And Netflix.
I said like a month ago. I'm not 100%.
Could be even worse.
Time flies.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah. You guys are so hip to them now, right? Let me read the description here based on the IMDb here. A love story set 1 year after the existence of the afterlife is scientifically verified. That's very vague. And it's written and directed by Charlie McDowell, his second film after The One I Love. Remember that movie, guys? We loved it. We reviewed it on the old show. The One I Love, remember? With the girl from Mad Men?
Yes.
Right? You remember, right? We reviewed that, right?
Yes. I'm thinking of two movies that she was in.
You're thinking of Queen of the Earth or something.
Okay, and The One I Love was the comedy one with the...
I need more. I don't know. Doesn't matter. She's not in the movie anyway. And it this movie stars whatchamacallit, Jason Segel and Rooney Mara or Mara. I always fuck that up.
Mara.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It also stars Jesse Plemons and Robert Redford. And this is an indie sci-fi movie where, like the plot says vaguely, that it starts off. It has one of the best openings I think of the year so far, in a long time. Where it opens, I'll just describe the opening for you. It opens with Robert Redford as the scientist that literally discovered traces of the afterlife in some scientific way, right? And, whatever, hocus pocus. And he's telling it to an interview, like a CNN type deal. And apparently it's at this point in the story, it's been 6 months. And in those 6 months of telling the world before the interview, there's been like massive suicides from people that want to just go to the afterlife now that they know it exists, right? And in that interview... as you can imagine, it gets worse, and one of the cameramen like kills himself in front of the cameras, and like after he's talking about what he researched and how he found that all and all that, and the movie skips 2 years where the movie actually starts, and in that process, 8 million more humans have committed suicide from this news, and it's like the whole movie. It's not really about that. That's just the premise, right? The world we're setting up, kind of like The Leftovers, and it goes from there to Jason Segel, who plays this. Neurosurgeon or something, and they're trying to find out what the afterlife actually consists of. They're trying to figure out the next process to that. He meets Rooney Mara, who is about to commit suicide, and they kind of both develop a relationship, and it's kind of like headed through their point of view. There's a lot of plot holes in the movie, though. It's not like as bad as time travel movies per se. There's no time traveling, although kind of a little bit. But yeah, otherwise, it's not as awesome as The One I Love, unfortunately, because I love that movie. I don't know if you guys remember that movie, but that movie had a perfect amount of mystery and reveals that I love. The Discovery doesn't have maybe the best revealing stuff it has. It tries to tie it all in a knot and unfortunately creates more questions and trying to like close it out by the end. So it wasn't like a perfect movie, but I did really like it. And otherwise, the premise is really cool. So that's The Discovery on Netflix. And then I saw another movie on Shudder. Called Pre-Venge, which is a new film too. They have, you know, sometimes they get these exclusives. And this one's interesting because I saw it because of Alice Lowe, who is the writer, director, and I think the star of it too. She was in a movie called Sightseers a few years ago that I really liked her in. Anyway, Widow Ruth is 7 months pregnant when, believing herself to be guided by her unborn baby, she embarks on a homicidal rampage, dispatching anyone who stands in her way. And it is a dark horror comedy where, like, in England, I guess, or somewhere in the sticks of whatever country, you know, I don't know their layouts. And she plays this character. It's all very indie, too, but it has, like, really quirky, funny moments that turn into brutal violence and a lot of slitting of the throats in this movie, guys. So if you're into kind of a dark comedy horror, I think this one works. And the child's voice is so creepy that she's thinking she's hearing while it's, you know, walking around killing people. It's so weird. It's such a weird movie. And you would think that watching half of the movie... first half of the movie, I almost stopped and like, nah, this movie's not that great. But by the second half and by the time it ends, you know, because I stuck it out, I was really loving it. And I kind of fell in love with what they were trying to do more with it. Because at first you don't know where they're going and why it's the point of all this. And maybe it's just a stupid horror movie. But it does elevate a little bit higher than that. So if you are interested in indie horror, I recommend Prevenge, which is only available on Shudder as far as I know.
That's cool.
So I recommend that. And the last movie here is Hidden Figures, but I'll have Luke start that one off with us, because you and I both saw it.
But I don't have the IMDb page up for it.
Okay.
Hidden Figures, it's about figures that are hidden and a mathematical problem that they have to solve. And
thank you for killing time. I have it right here. The story of a team of African-American women mathematicians who served a vital role in NASA during the early years of the U.S. space program. There you go. Luke, what did you think of this movie?
I thought it was really good. I was actually enjoyed it. I mean, it's a biopic, so it is kind of one of my things.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's like a three-pronged biopic,
right?
With one of the prongs longer than the others, because they focus on one more than the other.
Well, I like Trident.
Right, a Trident. Thank you.
I like how we had two people from Moonlight in this movie.
Right.
Mahershala Ali was there. And then
Janelle Monáe.
Oh, things we do to her.
Ah, she's very beautiful. Yes. Her IMDb picture,
Octavia Spencer is like my African-American mom.
Yeah, she is our Sally Field for, you know, it's funny. I wish I could say something about Taraji P. Henson, but I can't remember her in another movie.
I don't know her
although
either.
I'm sure if I look it up, I'm like, oh yeah, totally remember. Also, Kevin Costner stars in this, Kirsten Dunst, Jim Parsons, which is very strange.
Yeah.
Right?
In a nerdy role? Super strange.
Aldis Hodge? No, in a nerdy racist role.
Not strange at all. He's white.
Okay. Doesn't mean he's racist.
I think those definition.
In those times, yeah.
In those times.
Not everyone was racist.
So you fell in love with it, right? Because it was nominated for Best Picture and all that jazz.
It was a really good movie.
He just said he was racist.
Yeah, he's racist in the movie.
But no, you were saying like everyone was racist in that time.
No, I didn't say that. I said he's racist in that time.
Yeah.
Don't try to get offended.
The only non-racist white guy in this movie is Kevin Costner. And A, because I think he won it that way. And B...
That's kind of lame.
No. It's because he's so busy, he can't think of racism. Like, he doesn't... for different...
They play it off like that?
Yeah, they play it off like that.
We all pee the same color at NASA.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's a good line. So this movie is very uplifting. It's like a... It doesn't like show anything great, is my opinion. It's just an okay movie.
Poor guy, whatever. Who doesn't.
Right, there wasn't much of a conflict in this movie aside from like
the except numbers? For coming over the. No, I wish it was more about the math. Honestly,
yeah, there was not that.
No
much.
Beautiful mind process.
Whatever math it was on, we weren't explained anything of or what the reveals were or you know what was needed. They explained sort of the deflector shield thing on the window panel once, and that was it. That's as far as I remember. But it's really just more about the time they're in. And NASA getting up, you know, to current times. And yeah, it was fine. It was a fun movie. It's really easy to watch. I can see this in the theater, for example.
Isn't Kristen Stewart in this? Or Kristen Dunst?
Kristen Dunst.
Yeah.
Dunst, my apologies.
And she's the main white character that holds out the longest on the racism. Her and Jim Parsons.
Oh, she's the most racist.
Yeah, she's like the
Most. I don't think she was racist.
Yeah, I think the line that Octavia Spencer gives to her towards the end, you know, after begrudgingly giving her
the one they show at the Oscars,
the supervisor role, I think that might have been it. Mm-hmm. You know, about I don't remember the line I saw last week. Something about like you know, I don't have anything bad against you or your people. She says something like that.
Yeah,
and she's like, of course not, or whatever. You know, I don't remember what.
Oh, you didn't feel that was like
no. Come on, come on, settle down. So yeah, I mean, it's a fun movie. It's whatever. Hidden Figures. I mean, nominated for Best Picture. I don't know why, but it's a feel-good movie. It says so. I guess I can't blame it too much for that because most of those movies are kind of horrible or war depicting or something.
Right.
So that's that for that. Luke, you have another movie you saw.
Yes, I finally saw Almost Famous.
Did you almost see it or did you see it?
I saw it. Okay. Start to finish. The Cameron Crowe 2000 coming-of-age movie about a high school boy who was given the chance to write for Rolling Stones magazine about an up-and-coming rock band as he accompanies them on their concert tour.
Was he 16 or 17?
15.
15. Okay.
He was 15.
Yeah.
Okay. Was he any of none of those two? Yes.
Yes. That's right. What do you think? I'm so curious because I really hope you love this movie because I love this movie.
I did. I thought it was amazing.
Okay, good.
Like, yeah. I just wish Penny Lane had bigger tits.
Who?
I don't know. This is the character in there. The other girl that was with him.
The love interest?
Yes.
I forgot her name. This is her biggest movie.
Kate Hudson?
Kate Hudson, yes, right. She's been in a thousand things. She was in one of your favorite Woody Allen movies last year. Played the, wasn't that her? Played the Jesse Eisenberg's wife in the second half of the movie?
Kristen Stewart.
No, second half of the movie. Maybe because they separate. Spoiler alert for that movie.
That was someone else.
That was somebody else? Okay, I thought it was Kate Hudson. I thought Kate Hudson was in that movie.
No.
No, you're just, you know.
Old and forgetting.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
I'm
looking it up now.
So do you agree that this movie, because this movie is held in such high regard by, I mean, I don't want to put a race thing on it, but a lot of white people love this movie, mainly. And it's like this, I guess you would call it a, what do you call those teenage movies where growing up movies?
Coming of age?
Coming of age, thank you. It's a... A lot of people call it the coming of age movie because it's so, because he's the only kid in the whole. I mean, it's either the mother or older rockers with him. And even Philip Seymour Hoffman, who is his boss, is like, who gives the best advice in that movie. I want a movie with just him, that character.
Yes, like, he is the best.
He is the best. It makes me miss him more just thinking about it. But he's a good scene.
Blake Lively, I think.
Blake Lively? Okay.
Yes.
Sure. I can't picture her in my head right now. Anyway.
Kate Hudson.
Generic white girl. Blonde. Yeah,
it's a great movie. Almost Famous. It's also
amazing. I'm surprised I haven't seen it yet.
And you don't have to love Stillwater also. Like it's
is it even a band?
No, it is a band. They purposely picked a band that isn't very big. No.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure that was like a made-for-TV movie, right. You know?
Like, it's not going to follow Metallica and shit, because then it becomes about Metallica. This is about a kid following Stillwater, you know? Have you seen this movie, Ralph?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you agree with this?
Did I like it? Yeah.
Love it? No.
That was cool.
Yeah. Would you watch it again?
Yeah. I saw it like when I was in high school, so.
Yeah, I would too. All right. I'm almost saying
it. I thought it was fun. That's for sure.
That's what Luke's been watching. Ralph, you got something?
I've been watching some really crazy movies.
Right.
Right. I saw this one movie called Reptilicus. Oh, wait. I've been watching Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Return.
Is it The Return? I should retitle this thing.
Okay. Yeah, The Return. Mm-hmm.
That's the longest title.
I know. MST3K, The Return.
Yeah, okay.
In those episodes, I've been watching these movies. The first movie being called Reptilicus. So I'm going to give you the quick synopsis of Reptilicus.
Well, just in case people don't know what Mystery Science Theater is, because even though it's very popular with us and the people we know, it may not be popular with everyone. So it's just explaining.
They have Google.
They have Google? No, let's explain it. What is it?
Okay. Basically, it's... They get to go and berate the fuck out of this movie as the movie is progressing in the theater for them. So they're watching it live, or they're watching
audio commentary.
It's audio commentary. Got it. Yeah, only not like with comedians. Constructive.
With comedians, and they just bash the movie that they were watching.
Yeah, right. And it's like a joke's a mile a minute. Like they're just
they're insane. I haven't seen it in a while, but they're
snappy.
Seen,
so like the first movie Reptilicus, it's as cheesy as it sounds. Think of Godzilla. Only the, I think it's the Norwegian version of it. So, like, the copper miners discover a frozen tail of prehistoric monster in Lapland. And then they bring it back to life on accident. Because, you know, reptiles can come back from a tail, apparently. Regardless.
Right.
Science.
Yeah, science. It's really funny. The show is really funny. It took a little bit. It took, like, 20 minutes for it to hit to me. I didn't find anything flat. I just didn't start laughing out loud. Like, I found everything funny, and I was like, okay, chuckle here, chuckle there. I didn't start laughing out loud until, like, 20 minutes into the episode. And each episode varies depending on how long the movie is. So roughly, like, hour 20, hour 30, give or take.
Do they skip around? Yeah, they do it.
They do take breaks in between, and then there's actual show of, like, everybody else in the cast.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, my voice is kind of going, but hey. I'm still here. Yeah, and it's a really cool, it's still Mystery Science Theater. It feels very Mystery Science Theater. So they did a great job. Even the intro, it's a cool intro that they introduce our character now.
We should do those Fathom Event stuff too.
Oh, the Rift Tracks stuff?
Yeah, Rift Tracks. I know some of the same crew are in there.
Right? Yeah, they have the old crew in them, so it's really funny. So I saw three movies, and you can look it up on your own, but they're pretty bad. Reptilicus is the first one. Cry Wilderness is the second one. And the Time Travelers. Okay. That one was really, really something.
The movie was so bad that it was the jokes were great.
I mean, yeah, it was interesting. Right. It was just the effects that they used. And, like, they went, like, a really convoluted way of explaining things instead of, like, making it more simplistic.
Yeah.
That was the movie's fault, not the... They were making fun of it. Great job. So it's still fun. It's a fun show. It's a fun show to watch. But like I said, each episode is an hour to an hour and a half. So it's, you know, it's, you're watching a movie. Like, that's...
Every episode's a movie. Yeah.
It sucks. Like... It's you can binge watch them, I guess, if you want. It's just a lot longer than everything else you're used to.
Right. And yeah, isn't that definitely in the Netflix binge watching model?
Right, exactly.
You know, even though it's on Netflix.
But it is really fun to watch. And that's what I've been watching. Technically, yes, movies.
No, they're movies. They count. Like, if you watch an anthology series where every episode's a, you know, what's that horror series that HBO had? Or Showtime? Masters of Horror? Right? Masters of Horror. That's the name of it. So every episode was directed by a different horror director, and it was a short film.
Oh, yeah,
there were two,
right,
like, episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, those are all short films. You're watching movies.
Right.
That's what they are.
Yeah, like the 30 for 30.
Watch. For 30. That counts, too. So I would be with you on that. So, yeah, it's not a cheat.
Cool.
Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Return. I recommend
The Return. Yeah,
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure.
I recommend it for sure. Like I said, I never saw all of Mystery Science Theater 3000, because when it did come out, there was, like, you know, VHS and shit.
Right.
But, yeah, now we're in a completely different area. I never caught up with it. I never, you know. But it's I'm glad that it is back and I get to watch something like this.
Cool. All right. So that's it on what we've been watching. Next time I'll have a lot more because I actually cut three of my films. I've seen so many.
Oh, you spared us.
I spared everyone. I said no more than three, guys. So I will keep myself to that rule, too. So anyway, and you saw three episodes. That's right. So we're going to get on to our first review of the evening, which is part of our animation marathon. Real quick, as a recap, because we haven't explained this since the first episode. Luke, what is our animated marathon about?
We're going to watch animated movies from all types of genres.
Yeah.
And forms of it.
Forms, that's right. Styles like handwritten, digital,
still motion. Fucking vo. Nice. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Exactly. Different studios, different countries, everywhere. That's good. Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. So what's the movie we're doing? I think it's one of mine this time, right?
This is yours, so take it away.
Right. So we're going to start reviewing Perfect Blue. Perfect Blue, doing morally compromising gigs to become an actress, ex-pop star Mima gets her reality shaken by her past and an obsessed fan. And this is from 1997. I think I said that right last time. And it's directed by, or written and directed, I think, by Satoshi Kon. And this guy is pretty great. We accidentally stumbled into two movies for this marathon, because he did a movie called Paprika, which is also on our marathons list.
Yep. You know,
I think that's my choice, right? Or is that his?
That's mine.
Oh, okay. I think
another great movie. Yeah. Way different, though, but great movie. But this filmmaker has done, written and or directed Millennium Actress, Tokyo Godfathers, which is hailed really highly, and Memories and Magnetic Rose. And I've only seen Tokyo Godfathers and Paprika and Perfect Blue, of course. So this movie, since I picked it, I will start off with what I thought, initial reactions and whatnot. This is my third viewing of this movie, so it's not my first day on it. And Perfect
Blue. Did you say it's your namaste?
It's not my first day.
Oh, okay.
But it's namaste also. The reason I really wanted to pick this movie in here, and I think this and Paprika were like my number one and two slots of, like, definitely I'm going to have one of these two movies on there. But thank you, Luke, for picking
it. I like how it's your number one and two slots, but only one can make it.
Well, because at the time I had, I'm like, oh, I already have this time travel movie.
I get it.
So the reason I really wanted to hail this movie as part of a marathon is because this movie is very cinematic. The story is very cinematic. There is nothing magical in this movie. There's no magical realism. There's no crazy sci-fi twist to it. There's nothing that animation, that a camera can't do in this movie. A camera and live action actors can pull this movie off. That actually, it would be more likely so because the movie is about making movies and in a lot of ways. And everything is, you know, the laws of gravity work the same as it does in real life. Things like that. So the movie is very cinematic, and you think that this movie would make more sense as a film, livestock film. But I think the way it's set up and the way it portrays everything in such a strangely realistic animated fashion, and also it's hand-drawn and all that.
I think the end is a little harder to do.
Yeah, the ending is a little harder to do. I get that. But they've done those tricks before. And and this movie waited 10 years. That technology was
available.
Like
I said, I didn't say it was impossible.
No. That technology is now available to it. Right, of course. So all that being said, whatever caveat, I think that it's a perfect movie for that medium anyway, to make the most cinematic movie animated. And I think this movie does it off, pulls it off really well. And furthermore, this is probably one of my first really super adult animated features I've seen. Because I saw it a long time ago on a whim.
I mean, we did see Kiko Kama when I was really young.
No, but that's definitely fan service porn type deal.
And, it's still adult. Just yeah, throwing it out.
You know, I didn't mean adult like that. I meant, you know, mature.
Ninja Scroll?
Ninja Scroll we saw too. Also very fan service. It's just violent. There's no nothing...
But still
I meant mature in a wiser, older way. Not a.
It's tearing away at his argument.
I know, right? Already. I mean, it has everything here. This has nudity and violence too. So, movie. This movie has it all, actually.
Kiko Kama.
Yes, Kiko Kama.
No, Ninja Scroll.
Ninja Scroll. That show is terrible, by the way. The movie's good, but not the show. The show's awful. Don't watch the show, guys. So yeah, Blue, Perfect Blue, does that for me, and I think I saw it on a whim in Blockbuster. Kids Ask Your Parents, and. And I fell in love with it, even though at the time I was young. I was too young to really get everything that the movie was showing me. But I saw it again years later, and then again today, actually. And it's reinforcing a lot of really cool things in it. I love the themes of this movie. So, throw it to you, Ralph. What did you think of this movie? This is your first time, by the way.
Yes.
Okay. Question mark?
I want to say I've seen you watch some of this movie before. Mm. So, because some of it looked familiar towards the end.
Okay.
So yeah, but yes, it's my first viewing. Let me see, how can I explain this? Yeah, the end kind of got to me because it's kind of really weird, and Luke and I saw it together. I did enjoy the movie. It gets really messed up, especially the last, the third act of the movie. Mm-hmm. Gets really, really confusing. Like if you even miss a little bit of dialogue, you're kind of screwed. Though,
yeah.
Which I thought I had to put stuff two and two together. But overall, I actually did like the movie. It does feel dated. It feels like you're watching the old, like, Ghost in the Shell or something back in those days, you know. Appleseed or whatever. Like, it just feels dated because this is 1997. But it is still fine. It looks good. It's still done well. I'm not complaining anything about that. Except for the girl's fish eyes. Where, like, her eyes are just really far apart from everybody else's.
I think that's not on purpose.
It is. I get it. But at the same time,
she
it's just
looks
like
a bit fishy.
Wow. Good night, everybody.
Yeah. No. Other than that, like I said, I did enjoy the movie. I thought it was really cool, and how and it actually touches a lot more. Like, it's way more mature than anything I was watching, obviously, then because I was a little kid. But it's more mature than what I expected from an animated movie at those times. So that's really cool, and I did enjoy the movie for that reason.
Luke, your turn.
First time seeing. I've seen clips of this movie, but in a different context.
Oh, like in a...
anime music video or something like that.
Okay.
So I just saw, hey,
in a positive way, or just in a way like, oh, here's violence?
It's always been like just the dancing portions and the singing portions. They use those a lot in dance stuff.
You know what? That sounds familiar. I think I've seen that too.
Yeah, so they did use this one a lot back in the day. Overall, yeah, it's a really good one, actually. And actually, I just read an article, and it was like, oh, if you enjoyed Your Name, check out these other great animated movies.
Did they put Perfect Blue on there?
Perfect Blue was in there.
I'm not saying that Perfect Blue and Your Name have nothing in common, but they have nothing in common.
Did you say, like, no, like, watch these, like, really good movies,
Just in terms of the medium.
Right.
Okay, I hear you.
So as far as the story, it was really good. It's, you know... the first, you know, two-thirds of the movie were really good because they had that good, you know, build-up to it. And yeah. then this third act was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's going everywhere.
There is definitely a mind-blown, twisty fashion to it that it seems like only anime could do.
Right.
Pull off, but you can do this. I've seen this in movies, too. And
yeah, I've seen it, too. And like I said, when I watched this, we watched it together, Luke and I. I even brought it up, like, because we were just kind of getting, like,
I think Atonement did something.
Like, we were just like, what the hell? Like, we're kind of getting lost right now, right? And I was like, okay, I see what they're doing. Like, it's obviously very clear where they're going for, you know, this. Okay.
Nothing.
They're going for this whole, you know, she's having a mental breakdown. She can't even tell, like, what's going on anymore. She doesn't know the line between reality and fiction.
Yeah.
So,
and there's three lines that she's crossing, too, because it's not just getting in the character
and
of
then
the movie.
That's kind of like the twist, also.
Right.
Because at first you're just thinking it's just those two lines. And it's kind of towards the end that you realize that, no, there's another layer to this.
Right, another layer to it. And also, like, it, the movie is displaying different levels of psychosis or stress or trauma. Whatever you, I mean, I think psychosis definitely with the, whatever the main villain is, her producer, no, her agent. What was her name in the movie? I forgot the names. I'm sorry. I just saw it today, but I just forgot the names. Mima has to deal with that. It has to deal with her own paranoia. I think her own paranoia and pressure is the main thing with her. And it does like splinter and it gets pretty bad. Like the fact that she has to sacrifice, that's why I put it in the description, the morally conflicting stuff, like the rape scene that she had to act in. And it's, again, it felt so realistic. And I know it's animated, but it felt very realistic the way they were setting up and they had to move the cameras. It can't move. Like that's how they used to do it in the old days. I mean, they still do it now too. Just not as much because they don't have to now.
Right.
But people will have to sit still or be in their positions as much as they can and then they hear action again and continue. Like that was normal. And that is normal today. I've done those scenes before. Actually, they're awful to do. Don't do them. But anyway, in the way he was like saying, like, oh, I'm sorry, I have to grope you now. And he's like, oh, I understand. You know. And then she has to, and then the very next second, she's screaming bloody murder, right? And I guess she acts really well. The movie does transcend the animated medium by being like, oh, okay, she's a good actress. And she's always drawn. She can always be drawn as a good actress. It's not like it's her. She,
right.
But the movie makes you believe it enough where so by the end of the movie, not only are you like paranoid and freaked out about this guy who, the weird looking guy from the beginning. And
yeah, that's kind of the whole movie, yeah.
And also, and it gives you that double fake about the agent, the girl agent being the actual true.
Right, but it also, what I think that scene does also, it kind of villainizes, and it villainizes her, the male agent, because he's the one who obviously pushed towards it, and he's already pushing towards more, like, let's push the envelope even more now, right?
Right.
And then that, so you kind of get, like, the villainization of, like, in the end, you're just a woman and we don't care, or, like, you're just a female actress, and, like, you're only going to get to do these kind of things because you're showing off your body, right?
Right.
And then you have the other, and you kind of sympathize with her, I guess, fans, air quotes, because you're just like, yeah, it's kind of a shitty thing because she even cries about it. And you're just like, it is a very shitty thing for her to do. And it's almost like it's shit that she doesn't want to do. And it sucks because she's seeing the other side of like, what's the band name that she was part of? The Pop Idol?
Cham.
That they're doing great as a duo, you know, and stuff like that. And they don't have to do anything of these crazy things. So the movie does a good job of like making it feel all realistic to like where we're thinking of them as they would humans and like that. Like I said, like you said, you can draw them. They act good,
right.
You know, but the whole thing is to make it feel like it is because she is acting good.
Yeah. Luke, what do you think about the blurred realism here?
See, At first I had a real time accepting it because at first it was like really weird because especially when you come towards the end of it because you know, when she was, I felt like she was seeing this other persona, like, you know, perform on stage while
right.
she's doing her other stuff.
Yeah.
So at one point, I'm like, is this other persona like somebody that's really trying to imposter her? Or is it just like her mind just going along with what this like blog was writing and all that stuff?
So you thought a lot of the film's problems were coming from her own mind?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just like.
Right, and then, right. you know, you find out it's the...
Did you think it was only that one guy that was terrorizing her?
No, because I felt that just because they showed him so much, it probably wasn't going to be him.
Oh, did you feel a twist coming?
Oh, I felt a, I felt a twist coming for sure.
I knew
that he was obviously still going to do something because he's been doing things, but I felt that there was like an accomplice.
And how blasé he was. He was kind of very, I'm not saying like he was still a freaking creepy asshole, horrible person. Not that honestly, he didn't do all the murdering, but he just wanted to have sex with her, with his pop idol. Like, that's all he wanted.
I love how...
It was very like, ah, fuck this guy.
I love how humble they are in Japanese culture.
Yeah.
Where, like, they're pop idols, but they live in this shitty little apartment.
Oh, my God. The solitude, the fact that she has no friends but her agents.
Right.
And obviously, they're not really her friends.
Exactly.
That's the blue and perfect blue, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. By the way, if you hear a kid in the background... That's little Leo hiding around, playing with stuff or watching something. So I'm just letting you know, I'm out there. Anything else you guys want to illustrate about the movie real quick before we continue? Yeah. Not that we're over.
No. I overall liked it, like I said. I can't...
How does it work as so the genre here is basically a thriller, right? I would say. What do you think the movie's trying to tell you about maybe show business or trying to tell you about women? Does it have an issue or a theme that's more than the others?
I guess I'll start off because I have it in my head. It brings up a couple of things. The internet's still something very new.
So new. She had no idea.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like it's to the point where it's like either you know it exists and it's obviously taking off and it's something you can be a part of it or you can't, right? But it's easy how... already like mistaken identity and a bunch of shit can come back from like internet and stuff like that. Like there's kind of like a fear towards the internet. Like it can do so much. Like you can do so much with it already, or people can do so much with it with just your name.
This is before videos,
right? Exactly. And then you have there's that one little thing. There's one thing about it. There's also the fact that there's this girl or in show business who maybe it is a lot of actors or actresses or pop idols deal with this problem of like I guess it's a depression. I would say it's a depression. It's just the fact that you have nobody to talk to. Like even her mom, like her mom who tells her like, "Oh my God, your uncle bought like 20 copies of your CDs." Like if only like it worked that way, mom. Like it doesn't work that way all the time. Like you don't even get it. Like and you can't even support me even though you want to. And I get it, but like I have to be an adult at a younger age already. You know, and I don't have the things that other people do. Kind of like that. And it's about finding out who you want to be also and what you're willing to do to get things. And that's kind of what she pushes herself to be an actress. She's willing to take those, rape scenes or whatever, do things that...
Which to me is still the most horrifying scene.
I agree completely.
Not only, I know it's fake, and I know the film is all drawn too, so not only is the... no one's being raped, it's fake rape, but not, they're all drawn.
It just feels very realistic too.
It feels
like
so realistic. And just at the wrong points.
Right, exactly. Maybe then everybody applauds right after, and you're just like, how do you feel? Like, how do you get out of that? Right. How do you get in that mindset?
But that's what
and,
you
it's,
do.
And it's interesting because she's obviously trying to transition herself to becoming, you know, that, to eventually not do those things anymore, but at the same time, get known. So, like, it's an interesting thing where she knows what she has to do as, like, a stepping stone, and she's just evolving, you know?
Does anybody think that Double Bind is going to be a good movie? That's the name of the movie they're making in the movie.
I mean, it felt like a CSI episode.
Right. I thought
it was a show at first.
That's what I thought, too.
Right. Like, I thought they were spinning it off, but they had an end point to it. They had a production ending, and they kept saying movie, and they had a poster of a movie. So I was confused. I don't know, maybe it was two different projects, that she was like a guest spot in one of the shows, and then they elevated her to a movie. But whatever it is, if it was all was one movie, I imagine it's going to be a terrible movie, because they just brought in this... no-name actor to be the main one of the main victims in the movie or whatever. Like, what? I don't know where she has all these lines.
It was really weird. I thought the same thing, where it was a show.
Very strange. Very strange production, is my point. So I think it has a lot to say about not like feminism per se, but like just like women's issues and stuff like that. The movie, it doesn't like... This is another thing about the movie that's maybe a negative, is that the movie is focuses so much on Mima, for sure. She is a main actress. Almost we follow her exclusively.
Yeah.
Right? 100%.
Aside from, like, you know, like the weird creep shots and...
Oh, the murders. Right. Stuff like that.
Exactly. The creep shots. So besides that, it follows her exclusively, but it's not like... And it is, I feel, like a very realistic approach to what a starlet rising up, pop star coming up in the world would feel in those situations. But it's all in an extreme way. Like, we're seeing her in a chapter of a life that's going to last whatever window that is. So, like, we don't know how she really is as a person. Like, we can see that she is nice and maybe too timid for her own being, like, for her own liking.
Right.
For, to be in the business especially, which is why she has, like, these cutthroat agents, or at least that one guy who's pushing everything, and the girl who, we should have known this already, but she didn't want her to stop pop starring.
Right. It also felt like, I felt like the cutthroat agent was at first out for, like, I'm looking for a good payday because we need to get paid, guys.
Right.
And it just felt really dickish. Like, he just felt like your standard agent. Like, I just need to get money. Go do.
Wasn't it him that offered her, like, food after? Was that the?
Yeah, it was him.
Right, that was him. Yeah, that was kind of nice. It's weird though how that's a. I don't know how she gets paid. I think if things are paid for her, right? Everything seems like she.
It feels really weird. Yeah, weird. I don't understand that either.
That's just maybe the Japanese difference, or maybe that's how it really is, and we just don't know the business very well. So,
or it could be her age also. I don't know if she's too young or something.
Yeah, maybe she's too young. Right, and she maybe that's like a guardian thing. Like, she can't get paid directly. Hmm. So I understand full well that Perfect Blue covers a chapter of a life in a person that's fully stressed and is having like no one goes through this much violence all the time. So I understand that. With that nugget there, I think this movie is perfect in intention, and it's slow burn. And it's funny because there is no real slow burn to it. It's not like it takes a long time to get to violence per se. There's fake violence in the movie, and there's some real murders that happens around her. But in that process, like, her splintering off and not really like having the lines blurred between the lines she has to memorize for her scene and the lines she of her just regular day to day stuff, like, it blurs so well that sometimes looking back on the movie, you don't know if you're watching the agent's point of, or her, the main villain's point of view of what her life should be and what she thinks her life should be based on all these people like hating her or killing people around her. And I think that difference is portrayed really well. It's hard to explain without watching the movie. So my point is that I really recommend this movie. Watch it, and I think you'd understand how fucked up this movie really is.
Yeah, definitely. If you haven't seen it, I say check it out. Well worth it.
And let's talk about the ending real quick. Now, they have this chase scene, foot chase scene. Surprisingly, stuff that happens, the one really unbelievable thing that happens, I guess, is that she, not Mima, Mima jumps, and that was believable. She jumps from her terrace to the other building adjacent, right? Which is not too far, like an alley difference, right? And then the killer follows her. And I'm like, how did she not? She didn't look very hurt at all or whatever. That looked like a horrible fall. She was feeling the pain. Mima was, but not the whatever her name was, the producer agent. And I thought that was the one unbelievable thing. That's how convincingly she was running after her. But after all that, she's about to get run over, and she does a whole spotlight thing where she thinks there's spotlights coming after her, and it's actually a truck. And Mima saves her. What do you think of that scene? That whole thing issue.
Epic fail.
I mean, is that threw me off the first time I saw it. That's why I'm asking, because I'm not saying, like, yeah, let her fucking have it, but also, like, even if you're not a bad person, you don't want anyone to die. I get that, but, like, why risk your life to save her when she's clearly, like, going into the truck?
Yeah,
like, it's also it's weird, and I don't know how, if we believe Mima's, like, momentary decision to save her, or is it just like an act of goodwill that just came out of nowhere? What do we think of that weird that moment?
Well, I think she's still seeing her as her past self, right? Mima is seeing her agent as her past self, because that's how we see us, unless if we see her in a reflection, we always see Mima's agent as Mima, the pop star.
Right.
So I honestly think it's Mima saving herself, saving herself, her past self. So that's what she did it, because she's trying to make sure that she doesn't lose, like, something about her for letting this happen.
Okay.
That's where I went with it when I first saw it.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
I mean, besides also thinking, why would you jump in the way?
Do we think that's like a theme too about, like, the next chapter of people's lives? Like, that she's entering a new endeavor, a new chapter.
I mean,
right?
It kind of ends that way when he comes in.
Maybe not so much letting go of the past, but like connecting the past to the next step, but, you know, leaving it behind, or moments like that.
Could be. Yeah, about that. I think so.
The movie could be about that too.
Just because of the movie, how it ends.
I mean, Mima's agents, the reason she went crazy rampage is because she could not handle the fact that she was moving on. Mima, right? She wanted her as a pop star. I mean, the violence didn't start till then, right? the first scene is her stop, her last performance, right?
Right.
So, yeah. Okay. I buy that. Yeah. Anything to say to that?
Negative.
Negative. I think that's it on Perfect Blue. I got nothing else. So, nope. Watch it. I don't know if it's available and we can buy it. I don't know if it's on Blu-ray, but you can buy it on DVD and whatever.
Yeah. I don't think I think it got released on DVD a couple years ago. So
yeah, that's, I have
nothing
DVD.
That common.
Yeah, but you can still buy it. Is my point. You can still watch it. I think
pirate it.
Amazon's Amazon has this animated subscription channel thing that if you do get that, it's on there.
What is it called? Do you know?
I forget the name. But
the
it's
Anime Strike
Amazon.
Thing.
Yeah, I think that's what.
Them yeah, is. But you got to be like you have to be a Prime member.
And then
you have to sign up for this service.
Right. I didn't do it. But I'm saying
double paywall.
You have it.
It is double paywall.
Yeah,
the ones that really have.
But they also
paywall.
Had all of Makoto Shinkai's movies, just where I saw it, movies on there. Like I almost did it just for that.
Understood.
For the 7-day free trial, so like I just watch all this shit. But anyway, that's our Perfect Blue. We're gonna come back. When we come back, we'll review Makoto Shinkai's latest film, Your Name. So stay with us.
2 or 3 times a week, I'll suddenly and randomly switch with Mitsuha, who's somewhere out in the boonies. The trigger is sleep. The cause is unknown.
Any memories I have of the switch get more and more hazy after I wake up.
But there's no doubt that we're switching places. The reactions of everyone around us prove it. That's why.
That's why we decide to lay out some ground rules so we could protect each other's way of life. Things to watch out for during the switches, and a list of stuff we should never do.
We also agreed to leave each other reports on our phones on the days we switch places.
So that we could work together to get through this weird thing that's happening. And yet...
I cannot believe this girl!
Mitsuha dreams of leaving her small mountain town to Tokyo after high school in favor of family traditions. Taki, in Tokyo, aspires to be an architect and works part-time in a restaurant. Both teenagers experience dreams of body swapping, realizing that it's a phenomenon all too real. This is Your Name, the world's, broke all the records, the world's most popular animated feature to date. It made $300 million worldwide on its release, since its release last year. In Japan and obviously around the world. I think China also made a lot of money there. So,
if second largest gross for a domestic film in Japan, right behind Spirited Away.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I was going to say Spirited Away's got to be in there too in that conversation. Written and directed by Makoto Shinkai, a man who I found a lot about ever since this release came out. I've heard some reviews and more about the man himself, like how he started a lot of the shit he did in his own like computer. To start off with, he's done a lot of short films for either himself or for others and small little, like, almost like commercials in a way, like between serials or something. But it's not his first film either. He's made titles such as The Garden of Words, Children Who Chase Lost Voices, 5 Centimeters Per Second, The Place Promised in Our Early Days. Those are his major ones.
Yes.
And I've never heard of the man. Never heard of the man at all. This
really?
Is one, a complete new person to me. I loved his Your Name so much, spoiler alert for the review, that I looked all his shit up, and I was like, where can I find it? Not anywhere, by the way. A lot of his shorts were available on Vimeo or YouTube, and I had to find subtitles, and it was so hard. I had to give up on some of them. I almost bought, like, blind bought some of his movies, but they're, like, really expensive because they're from another land, and they're, like, short 30-minute movies. Like, I'm not going to pay that much for a movie like that.
I think 5 centimeters per second was on Crunchyroll.
Didn't know that, but either way, I have that now. I haven't seen that one yet, but I have it already penned up and ready to go. But I did see some of his other short films, A Gathering of Cats, She and Her Cat, Standing Points, Other Worlds, and Someone's Gaze. He loves cats, by the way. He's a big cat guy.
Oh, yeah.
With that said, before we get to Your Name, I know, what is your relationship with Makoto Shinkai? Have you seen this? What have you seen of his? What do you think of the man?
We were lovers in our previous life.
Nice.
No, I've known him from quite a long time ago, but I've only pretty much seen just his short stuff, which was of Voice...
Last Voices? The Children
of Voices of a Distant Star.
Voices of a Different Star.
And then I also came with She and Her Cat, and I was like a couple variants of that one.
Nice. Ruff?
I am privy to his prior work in 5 centimeters per second.
How was that, by the way?
It was good, actually.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's all I've seen of his work beforehand, and I like that. So,
What's the name of this film? Or this is also like a series of shorts that comprises one film, I guess, where it's about this this boy who has to wait for this badass girl who's going off to fight an alien war. What's the name of that movie?
Oh, man. I think you're thinking about Voices of a Distant Star.
Maybe that one. Let's try that one. Yeah. I heard that's really good, too. I want to see all this stuff. So, your name.
It's Luke, film. Yeah?
Yeah, your name is Luke. Great. Old jokes, whatever. We'll start with you, Luke, actually, on this one. So, what did you think of this movie? Did you have any expectations going in before?
I expected it to be awesome because I just heard all the amazing things about it. That's why when I saw it was going to be released here, I was like, we have to see this movie.
Right.
Then after I made Ralph see it, and when we both told you, you have to see this movie. And I'm glad we did.
Yeah, and I'm totally glad.
Here we are.
Yeah. So what did you think of the movie? What?
I loved it. It was amazing. We ended up going to see the dubbed version, which I was kind of bummed out about, but after like 10 minutes in, I totally forgot because of how amazing the voice acting was and just the story.
Oh, it's funny. I've been hearing weird things. People would say it's either horrible or okay.
Well, I could have compared it to the original, so, you know, there's always that maybe aspect. But, yeah, I just, you know, thinking the voice acting out, it was amazing. The story was great. It was visually appealing. I loved the characters. It was amazing.
Nice. Roth?
I hate to voice the same opinion, but I mean, that's what the movie was. It was, it's a slice of life animated movie, and it's, I mean, it knocks it out of the park, baseball style. I honestly just really fell in love with the characters. I was kind of annoyed that we had to see it dubbed. Because I am a very big fan of just reading subs. I'm so used to it for an anime movie or anime in general. But the dub was good. Like Luke said, it took me a little longer to get into it. So maybe like for 20 minutes or so, and then I was like, okay, I don't have a problem. The voices were fine. Like nothing was horrible. Like you can still tell some certain words are like, okay, that obviously word does not fit in there properly, like somehow, you know. But it wasn't bad overall. And yeah, man, I love the story and I love how complex it gets. It's so funny. I laughed out loud many times during this movie in the theater, and I'm not usually one to react. Like, I actually had a really good laugh at like some moments, and it was cool because I got to see it with my friends, and I just felt like we were on the couch watching an anime and, you know, watching this cool story. It was really cool. And like I said, towards the end, they kind of get you like a little bit towards... a little tearjerker, but a little towards more like up to your seat because you don't know what's going to happen and you don't know how it's going to end. And then there's two endings to this thing and you're like, what the fuck? But like I said, I overall really enjoyed the movie. I can tell why there's such high praises out there for it. It deserves it all so far.
Right. This movie better win Best Animated Feature of the fucking year. No, I won't.
I think it got snubbed because they didn't put it in the Oscars.
Oh, was it considered for last year?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
It got snubbed.
It was one of those things where it's like, not going to make it because fuck you, Oscars.
But we nominated Avatar, the most grossing movie of the year that came out. Anyway, saying this is the cool end of that. But yeah, Echo Chamber, Bukkake, we're all coming on this movie because we all feel the same, kind of. This is really an amazing movie. I mean, if I don't normally see a movie that I knew nothing going in.
I knew nothing either.
Your Name, I'm like, what the fuck kind of title is that? I saw a poster which had the two teenagers and the nice symmetry of the one in Tokyo and the one in the small town. So I guess I knew that, but that's it. And I started to watch this movie. I saw it subtitled, by the way. I don't know how the American voices or the English version is.
Pretty good.
That way, pretty good. Maybe I'll watch it like that one day. And at first I'm like, oh, this is like Freaky Friday. I'm like, this is kind of cool. I'm like, all right. And then it becomes something, way different, and at the same time, way better, even though the movie had already established itself to be very, very, I don't want to say lighthearted is not the right word, because there's a lot of joy in the movie, especially in the first half before it gets real and serious.
Yeah.
And also it becomes like a heist movie at some point, too. Before it gets to all those points, yeah, it is very light and airy and happy and joyful, but it's also very reminiscent and very true to the teenage factor of these characters, because they're both 15, 16, 17, and whatever, and they are experiencing something truly bizarre. But then again, all teenagers experience very similar identity bizarre things, and they don't have to be sexual in nature, but their reactions to their predicament of waking up every morning as the other person is such a cool... such a cool way to explore that, better than Freaky Friday has done, honestly. Both movies, or there's like two or three of those versions, right?
I don't know.
There's at least
Nor two. Do I care.
There's at least two. Yeah, that's a way better than that. Like the way the kid just has to grope the tits.
Yes, the boobs.
Right, the boobs every morning, and he can't stop.
Doesn't matter what it is.
Right, and the girl can't help herself with her own nature. I'm not saying that in a negative way or whatever, but like the way that they rub each other on their lives, they're so separate from in time too. By the way, I guess that's a spoiler actually. It's so well done, and so it focuses on the details of the reason he could get that day with that beautiful sought after, you know, was she a waitress or a hostess, right, at that restaurant. Like the reason that works out is because when Taki is Mitsuha in the body and mind swap, she can relate to her because she's not just another fuckboy or this boy who's just like drooling over her or being shy. Like the relations that led to these friendships eventually, it makes perfect sense. And so it's so well done. And it's a very, very tender movie. And I know I'm just talking about the first half here before we get to the spoiler second half, which is way different and yet very much the same. So yeah, I love this movie. It almost feels like it could be two short films that are strung together, like two episodic things. It's such a good movie. I love this movie. It's also a bit of coming of age too. Maybe more than I'm admitting to, but I didn't really focus on that. I very focused on the momentary stuff here, because I was just exploring this movie for the first time. So yeah, Your Name. I wish I almost saw it a second time in preparation for the review, because we saw this like 2 weeks ago. We saw it 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah,
at least. We almost reviewed it for the last show, but we're like, no, we already have we have it set in stone already, and like we're not gonna change it. But yeah, I'm glad I saw it for sure. Thank you, Luke and Rob, for recommending this movie. Let's talk about something else. What is another aspect we want to talk about? Anyone can take the floor. How about anything? Your Name.
I don't know. I'm just checking Amazon to see if it's over pre-order. Because I said like half of this movie, I'm like, I need to buy this.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So this movie does that whole Freaky Friday thing. It does a great job of keeping you the turns, the twists in it are there, and but they keep it hidden from you really well. Like because we're so embedded in these lives, especially oh my god, what's the Taki's, right?
Taki is the boy.
Yeah, in Taki's life, especially when like he eventually like figures it out of like what's going on,
right?
And like you only get there when you're finally like, oh, hey, like, when he's discovering it. Like, right before he discovers it, you're discovering the same thing.
That's true.
So, and I think the movie does a great job there, because after that turn, that kind of twist that happens in the movie, it becomes, like you said, it becomes a completely different movie. But it still feels like we're in the same movie.
Like,
It has the same, I don't know if tone is the right word, but...
Maybe.
It still feels like all these characters are still true to each other. The fact that they're still they go for this elongated message and this weird and I'll spoil it because it's a time traveling thing.
Right. Yeah, they add time travel to the movie.
Yeah, and which is really interesting because you don't like
in a way that's obvious and not like out of nowhere. It does feel out of nowhere, but it makes sense because
right, exactly.
You know, they both wake up every morning in their their timelines, right, and their past history. That they wake up every morning as different people, and they do communicate with each other like that. But what they don't know and you don't know until you know is that they're living different times by years, isn't it?
Yeah, or
is
about it? 3 years, I believe.
3 years, probably, right? Yeah. And it's in relation to the real magic of it, the sci-fi magic of the movie is that the reason they can body swap and all this stuff is because of this crazy meteor that hit that town that she's living in, Mitsuha. Mitsuha. That hits her town and thus killing her in her future and in Taki's past. And that's where the movie becomes a race to save the town, her life, but also it becomes instantly tragic. Because even though you know that information and at that point of the movie when you find that out, when he's discovering the painting and all that, you know she's alive. She's around somewhere in the past. They're talking to each other and then they stop, right? It just stops out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it becomes instantly more tragic, even though she's still around, that she is going to die.
Right.
I think the movie holds that weight really well.
Yeah. No, it does a really good job. There's this weird sense of urgency, and it's weird because you don't like. I don't want to say I didn't take into account, but at the same time, you're already an hour plus into this movie, and then this happens in it, and then there's still another like 40 minutes left of this movie.
Is the movie that long? I don't remember being that long, but it felt short to me.
107 minutes ish.
Okay. So I mean, so hour and a half, hour 40. So like I said, it feels like you still have at least like 30-20 minutes left in the movie. But like after you just don't expect it, and like it doesn't rush as much as like I thought it would. It still takes its time, which is like what the beginning of the movie does, or the first half of the movie does really well. And then you get these really cool two endings at the end.
Yeah.
That like you're just like, we're not done with this, like. And it's great, and I think Luke loves it so much because there is like a closure to that first ending,
And a certain lack
and
of
and a certain lack of.
Are you talking about the ending when they finally meet in the crater for the first time? That's when they actually meet and they write each other on their arms.
Right, but he doesn't write that; he writes something else.
Right.
Yeah, it's right after. Yeah, when he it's I would say it's more like right after the first ending for me is, I guess that's the first ending for you guys. The first ending for me is where they write that and they forget it to each other, and then everything's fine, and it's, now it's like, and it goes 5 years later, right, or whatever, and you're just like, what the fuck, like, what do you mean, what the fuck, like, why, like, and it makes sense because it's, they forgot, like, you know, it,
how
just,
do you forget though?
But it's because you're not, so you weren't, it was this magical moment of something happening in time, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think that the only thing that not that this movie does very little explaining, but a lot of showing.
You have to just accept
a lot of showing that tells you a lot, that explains a lot, but without saying it, I should say. Like, you know that the switching stuff comes from the meteor thing. You know that certain amount of catastrophes has to happen, certain amount of, like, her family's tradition to the knitting thing and the shrine thing, which I don't understand Japanese culture very well, but I know that that's a big part of it. And I know it means a lot to her, and I know it means a lot to the afterlife and the spirit and whatnot. So, yeah, I think all of that was explained without ever telling us anything. But the stuff that wasn't explained, even from that angle, was probably the fact that they were forgetting, even though every morning when they went back to their own bodies in the beginning of the movie, or the first half, they were remembering everything. That's the whole point. They write each other notes and shit, right? Stop fucking with my friends. Stop fucking with my job, you know.
Stop wasting my money.
Stop wasting my money. She's like, stop working double shifts. So much, yeah, right? She's like, stop. Exactly. Because she's having fun. And you only have one cafe in her town. There's like 50 billion cafes in Tokyo.
Which is like a vending machine?
Yeah, it's a vending machine.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Let's go to the cafe. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Right. Sucks balls. It's also, that's another thing. The country versus the city life. It's very interesting, too, when you talk about that. But that's also a big component in the movie that's much more subdued, and it's not the main thing of the movie. But it's interesting to think about people who are not the happy per se, but they're kind of like sick of their own situations. No matter where you'd be, you could be in New York, right? Arguably the biggest, most popular city in the world, and still hate your life and want to go on sticks maybe every once in a while, right? Like, they could have a different point of view than a person who might be living in a small shitty town that wants to go to a bigger city.
Right, right.
I think that was fun. But it's beside the point.
I mean, she's a small town girl.
Are you going to do that song?
No, I would never. But okay. I'm just saying. But, you know, she's a small-time girl, and he's a big city guy.
Lonely world. Okay.
He's a big city boy.
Yeah. Right. Good.
Took the train.
Yeah, you really had to hold yourself back on that one, didn't you? You're resisting.
Just keep going.
Yeah, I'm
going
to keep going now. So I think that the only thing that really wasn't explained is the fact that they would forget. That was the only weird thing.
The only thing I could figure except for the acceptance is, because, you know, at one point he had, like, the bracelet that she gave him, like, in his past. And I think that's because, you know, that was part of the thing that they used to make the, like, the weaving for that.
Yeah.
The whatever shrine. And since that has to, since the time is, like, all interlining or whatever the hell, since he had a piece of that, he was able to connect with her. But after that was finished, they were able to, you know.
I think after the time kind of like done itself.
Right, kind of like fixed itself, right. But you know, you still remember.
They also bring it up because that's the beginning of the movie where he wakes up, right? And he's like, who are you? Like, what's your name? Right? Or something, if I remember correctly. It's been a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
Where she leaves the bracelet thing or her hair tie that he turns into a bracelet.
Right.
Because she did go see him in the past. That happened. That really happened in real, like, they actually had a connection.
Right.
And she did it, but it was just 3 years before, and it's not in the same time frame for him. Yeah. So he's just like, who the fuck are you? Like, I don't, whatever.
Like, does she want to D?
Right, exactly. Well, he doesn't know, because he's just a kid. He's just like, okay. Yeah. You know? So yeah, there's that whole thing. They bring that back into the in rotation. And it makes sense that it finally triggers it. Like, this is, I got this because of you. Like, this represents you. Like, we, this yeah. actually happened at one point. So obviously we were, we're just catching up to it because we're seeing it through Taki's perspective. I think it's still more through Taki's perspective than it is our, I forget our heroine's name.
Mitsuo. Yeah, maybe. Maybe you're right, especially because of the fact that he, in any situation, he's not the one who is dying.
Like, right.
He's always alive. Maybe he's always, on the inside. He's always in the future. Right? Exactly. He's on the inside. He's the Terminator. He's dead.
Under, yeah.
So I have a question, and this is just me plain old forgetting it. How does she make it out?
She ends up getting the people back to out of the high school? The school, yeah.
Or is it just herself? She makes
no,
it.
She no,
makes,
she gets no. No, it's she saves the whole town basically.
I know she tries, but I thought she failed.
No, she convinces her dad to yeah? do it.
Okay.
She finally gets down there or whatever, and she
they just didn't see. We didn't see the actual.
They show a news article,
right?
Yeah. Okay. That it coincidentally they had a. They said it was an exercise drill,
a fire alarm drill. Yeah.
Okay.
That the whole town.
Oh, trying to hide the fact that the meteor hit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, that the meteor does hit. It's just like there was almost like no casualties.
They were out of the impact zone.
They were
zone.
Out of the impact zone because
right, right.
they had a fire drill at that moment.
Got it.
Before
okay,
cool. the impact happened.
I see, because I think they didn't show the actual evacuation. They show her trying to get there, and then
right, exactly.
gets, to the news thing, which I forgot. So, yeah. Okay, cool. So that's how she makes it out. Here's two questions, I guess. So the ending I really love, by the way, which I guess might be a little open-ended for you, Luke. Is that what you guys were referring to? And them rediscovering themselves on the street?
Yeah, but not really knowing who they are, and you know.
Yeah, but you know it's going to happen. It's like the ending of Eternal Sunshine, right? Like,
right.
after all this shit, we wiped our memories,
sure,
but
sure,
we're
sure.
still going to, like, the tapes are there, the information is there, we were together, right? So, I love that ending, and we can talk about that specifically, but... what do we think? Is the movie you think exploring the idea of that they were like meant to be together, and the reason that the time shifting, lapsing, body switching thing was happening was to get her to save the town? Like, do you feel like the movie's trying to create a purpose to the magic in the movie, or is it just like a coincidental thing?
No, I think it's a magical thing that it's trying to create. I wanted to say it was something coincidental, but bringing back that whole scene where she meets him. And she knows who he is, but he doesn't know who she is in the very beginning and then at the very and towards the end where it all happens, where he gets the tie and he knows where this person was. That it just makes it a magical moment that it was at that moment where the meteor comes in. They're both looking at it and they both capture something from it. It's like a glimpse of it's like something in time happened there where they both caught something, you know, and that's the magical yeah. moment. That and on top of this whole thing, where I think also plays into the this whole spirit thing of her leaving herself still in the past in this weird rock thing from her traditions, on top of this magical event,
because
that's also another area where a meteor hit before that one rock area where she left the sake that she made or something, like that's another area where a meteorite hit just.
Yeah,
ages ago.
Yep. That's so, right. Yeah, like 100 years before.
Exactly. Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, which is very interesting. How like literally time is repeating.
It's
itself.
Cool how it's like a time. It's like a time travel movie with like magical things going on.
Right.
It's a little bit of everything.
It's a little bit of fantasy elements to sci-fi elements, but they're really just a growing up, coming of age love story.
Right. Exactly.
In reality, and based on today, right, or cell phone age. Very, very cool. Anything you want? By the way, Luke, what do you think about that?
The only thing I was worried about, I thought, like, because obviously they're using each other's phones to write notes. Wouldn't you see the date on the phone? Like, hey, I'm in a different year.
That is something that came up in a review. I didn't think of that, honestly. But yeah, that makes sense. You're right. Why didn't you know?
And that's, yeah, I mean, 3 years. It's kind of a thing, yeah.
Right, yeah. Unless the date was accurate, but not the year, right? I just didn't pay attention.
It could be, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's rare, but, though.
I mean, this movie is unrealistic, first of all. But yeah, and then on top of all that, you're right, it is very unlikely. No, I don't know. Yeah, that's probably a plot point, a plot hole that I don't think about. So, you want to talk about the ending? Like, how do we, are we satisfied with it?
I am. I have no problem with the ending. The fact that these two end up, like, it does seem kind of like, you know.
Like, do you feel like the movie could have taken a more realistic approach to that?
Well, what's the more realistic approach? I just felt like we already did.
A less one.
No, I already felt, and I kind of.
A more realistic approach, I think, is them, like, meeting each other in a cafe. They're both 60. They already have families. Like that.
Nah.
No, they would have never had families. They would have just met each other at 60 because they wouldn't have never let it go.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. People let go eventually. I don't mean in a bad way. I mean, life goes on.
I mean, you'll let go, but you'll continue your life, but you'll still have that, like.
So you're kind of buying into, like, the movie that there's only lingering. One for you kind of thing? Because that's what you're implying.
At this point, and this is where I was looking at a more realistic approach when I left the movie, when I saw it the first time, or the only time.
Yeah, the only time.
But when I left the theater, and I, thinking about it, and I get overall, it's already a magic. There's a lot of things going on in this movie where it's like we said, it's sci-fi magical shit going on. Like, it's fine the way it ends for me, for the fact that, like, we already got there. Like, it's fine that they both left the train, and even though they went opposite ways or whatever, they still managed to cross paths walking. It was mm-hmm. bound to happen because okay. like they had that connection already. Like, I didn't have a problem with that ending. Like, I had more of a problem with the fact that. Are you fucking kidding me? We just skipped 5 years. Like, I was like, are you, or whatever X amount of years, I forgot it was.
I was fine with that.
I was just like, what? Like, seriously? It was more like that kind of, like, reaction to it.
I hear you. So you think it was meant to be?
Yeah, I mean, that's what the movie's doing it anyway. So I wasn't, I didn't hate the movie for it.
See, no, I feel like all the stuff, I love the movie the same, no matter what I say. But I think that the stuff that you're looking at that's not as coincidental, that I was asking earlier, I think it is definitely more coincidental. It just happened to turn out this way, which is also very magical and awesome. But it feels like they could have met at any point, or they didn't have to meet. That it was very great that their peace of mind or their own inner satisfaction of what happened to that other boy, what happened to that other girl, it was like satisfied, and they met up, and everything is great. As an audience member, that's what you want as an ending. But I'm not 100% on that they had to, or that they should have.
Well, it makes sense. I mean,
no, you're right.
No. It makes sense for you. Right. You have that whole La La Land mentality, so it's okay.
What do you mean, La La Land?
Where, like, you know, everything needs to be.
No, not really, actually.
Because... Well, I was going to say, it's that La La Land mentality. I bring up La La Land because that's the really big one where everybody was like, it has to be more true to it.
But the one thing that the movie is, the one thing that people love about that ending is the fantasy part. So.
Right. Go figure, right?
Right. The dream part.
Yeah.
Anyway, so maybe not. But yeah, I see what your point.
Yeah.
So it's great. It's still a great ending. Look.
It's still not available for pre-order.
The ending, though.
I love this movie. I need it.
No, like, what'd you think?
No, like I said, I first, you know, I had, you know, you had your conclusion in one of them, and then you had, like, the six, you know, like I said, you had your second ending, and even though as much as I don't
like ambiguity?
Yeah, I mean, I like, you know.
What's ambiguous about the ending?
He wants to see them in their gravestones.
Right.
Like, that's the type of ending.
I'm invested in this relationship. I need to know where it goes.
It was too tough shit. No, life happens. That's what happens afterwards.
They go together. You want to see them, like, washing dishes together?
Yes.
Every day for hours? That's called life.
Doesn't matter. You don't have to make a movie of that. How do they ever talk about it? How this, you know, weird time and, you know, in the past, they were able to swap into bodies and they found out, hey, that was me going into you.
They ended with both of them.
Why were my nipples sore the next day?
Co-writing a book about their experience, their adventure. Is that a better ending for you?
I want closure.
That is closure. They met up. They're together forever now. They're together forever. There's no way someone thinks
that's what I would like to happen, but you never know.
And that's up to you. That's exactly what closure is. That's what that is.
No.
Death is still not the end.
Not according to the movie Oscar song.
Yeah, the Discovery song.
Death is just the beginning.
Right. No, it's not the beginning. I hate when people say that. Like, no, there's plenty of years of beginning already. Like, I hate that shit.
Yeah, it's called the tutorial.
There you go. Tutorial. Right, this whole life's tutorial for the afterlife. I think we're done for your name. So that is your name available in select theaters. Maybe not anymore.
I don't think anymore.
It is. I mean, we still have it at the Music Box.
Oh yeah, Music Box. That is it. Yeah,
there's actually other theaters. If you go on www.funimationfilms.com/movie/your name.
Why are you yelling?
Yeah, why are you yelling it?
Because I'm excited.
Okay.
Okay. You can go see where it's playing near you.
Right. Or and then make sure you buy it, show it to people when it comes out and shit. That's
buy it, good. Send Luke a tweet and tell him that you bought this already. When, you know, anybody, Japanese listeners or anybody that lives in Japan.
You know what? I want everyone to tweet Luke an open-ended, ambiguous ending to something.
No.
That'll be great. All right. So that is your name. Before we close out the show, we have some recommendations I want to bust out here. I was going to go with Satoshi Kon, but of course we are reviewing another one of his movies later on in this marathon called Paprika. So I don't want to spoil too much on his stuff. And Paprika. Paprika, yeah. And although I recommend that movie now and forevermore to watch it, everybody. But also I'll talk about his movies later on then. But let's talk about more of Makoto Shinkai, the cat lover himself. What do we think of his stuff, like his sci-fi versus his relationship stuff? Like, I know you've seen some of his stuff that I haven't
right.
seen, Luke.
Right, well, Voices of a Distant Star yeah. is pretty much that. It is sci-fi and relationship.
Right.
The premise is this girl's going off to like fight this thing in space or some shit like that. And she has a boyfriend back home, and the only way they could communicate is through text messages.
But it takes years to get there.
The further she goes out, the longer it takes to go back and forth to receive and send a message.
Yeah. So he'll ask, what you doing? And the text back will
be. Right.
It'll just take forever. You have to really minimize your conversation. I want to mention there are some of his short films are available to, because I saw some of them on Vimeo and YouTube, as I said earlier. Particularly, I want to recommend A Gathering of Cats, if you just type that into YouTube. There's another name to it, like the first component name to it. But The Gathering of Cats is 1 minute long, and it's about this cat, obviously.
And we're going to have best radio right now, and this, play it for us.
Right. This one house cat whose tail gets stepped on a lot by the family he lives in. And every night dreams of gathering all the cats in the area and transforming into one giant cat to eat them and kill them all. And then the cat remembers all the times also that they're really fluffy to her and caring for her, and she takes it back, and then the cat gets stepped on again. And so it's really funny. That's one I recommend the most. Other Worlds I recommend to Someone's Gaze. All these are great little titles. I have it on the show notes for people to YouTube/Vimeo. Obviously, it's all free. You can watch it now. And if you speak Japanese, then you fucking know all this shit already. And you can probably watch a lot more that are unsubtitled for my benefit. So, yes, that is our animation recommendation segment here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll review The Circle, which is movie starring Tom Hanks, Emma Watson. I forgot who directed it, but I know the guy. He's done some shit before.
Adam Schenck.
That's right. Stay with us is my point. Before we continue with our show, we're going to review this movie called The Circle. We're going to talk about our bonuses. Luke, you're so excited, right?
Right.
Right. This is a little bit of house cleaning here, promoting ourselves here. We're not adding something. No, it wasn't a pun. I just want to correct myself.
No, that was a pun.
No, I didn't mean it to be like
you
on
totally
purpose.
Did. You were trying to be punny?
I wasn't doing a dad joke.
Sure.
But I love dad jokes. Right. So, Ralph, Mr.
Well, I mean, you're dating girls old enough that you could be their father.
That's true. I mean, I am practicing the daddy-daughter role. That's right.
Okay. What practice in the bedroom is different.
Exactly. We're in my bedroom. Actually, we do record in my room, guys. This is weird. It's just, why are you making this weird? Talk about this fucking bonus thing.
What's this movie? Slate? Slight? Slay?
Slay. It's Slay.
Oh, it's like a Christmas
Slay
movie.
With a... Slay T, I would say. Right? Because the same...
Slate?
Slight.
Slight, yeah.
Slight.
Slight.
It's a slide. Slide.
Fight Club.
Yeah.
Deep cut.
Penguin. Okay, sorry.
Slide.
Power Animal. So, yeah, we're watching this movie called
Emma Watson's My Spirit
Slide.
Animal.
Oh, God. Yeah. So, this is... what's that movie that came out with those three boys that wanted to kill each other?
Chronicle.
Bam. It's kind of like that with... magic instead, I guess, or whatever. And it also...
And a little more street.
Yeah, a little more street.
It's Leviosa. Yeah. No, not that kind of magic.
Not that kind of magic.
I hope not. I really hope not. No, we know nothing about this movie, but it is kind of
cool.
Slated to be pretty big.
This is a Blumhouse picture, which they've knocked it out of the park 2 for 2 this year so far that we've seen. Maybe they came out with other movies that were really
dumb. I think there's a third in there.
But this movie so far, it looks good. Trailer looks good. Oscar and I were going to pick something really shitty, and then I looked on the list and I was like, oh, Slide, yes, yes. I
right, because we're having a hard time deciding which movie will be our bonus for,
yeah, exactly.
For April. But now that April's ending and this is the last show coming out in April, actually at the very end, 28th. Yeah. 28th actually. You know, you have some time to donate to our show and find out if you can how you can get this bonus episode. It's really easy. Go to our website, otherpodcast.com, and you find that all information there. And I will send you that personal podcast that we're going to release,
guys.
Yeah.
To those who donate, though, you not only get an episode, you give something to Luke. Luke, what do you get?
Oh, that's right, Luke. To us? Yes, a Luke fund.
It's a Luke fund, guys.
That's a Luke fund.
The guy who needs the least amount of funds.
Right.
I'm going to be going to a small barren place in Alaska, so I need honey buns for sustenance.
For hibernation, if you will, in the summer.
Right, in the summer hibernation.
Cyber hibernation.
Oscar and Rafael have been tasked with sending me a care package every week that takes about 3 weeks to get to me.
I didn't hear this.
So they need to go and buy the freshest honey buns from our local 7-Eleven
so they
can ship them
3 weeks old?
Exactly.
But they'll be frozen.
On top of the... No, they won't.
No, they won't
frozen.
Be. No, they won't be.
Yeah. So any contribution you make goes mainly to me and honey buns.
7-Eleven store-bought honey buns, obviously. Because
we're trying to... We're saving money here,
we're saving...
Guys.
We're pinching pennies here, folks. Right. So
if
that is
you totally want to sell those honey buns, though, we'll totally take honey buns. Longest,
I will give you a P.O. box.
This is the longest
address.
Ad that goes nowhere most of the time.
Because there cannot be a monopoly on
we
the
We are
box.
The best right. Horse podcast out there.
True story.
I mean, it takes 3 weeks to get anything shipped to me, so...
Right.
I'm not sending you shit. True that. Like,
that's gonna
maybe
suck when
rough,
I forget 1 week.
You'll get my love once a week. Just a glass of cum or something. I don't know.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, well, that's my love. That's segment. My love for you. Yeah, that's not like, even a segment.
Can I do like from a Saturday to a Sunday? That's like 2 different weeks.
Oh yeah. Anyway, that's it. Just go to our pod. Fucking Christ. Just
go
donate.
To our website.
Yes.
Donate.
What's the website, Luke? This is gonna be fun because I don't think it knows.
Otherpodcast.com.
Oh, good. You actually listen to me, or you're just used to it. All right, now on to our review of The Circle.
We all pay taxes. And what, 80% of us did that online last year? Why not stop duplicating services? Why not just make it all part of one unified system? You could pay your taxes, vote, pay your parking ticket, all through your Circle account. We'd save users hundreds of hours of inconvenience. We'd save the government billions.
Hundreds of billions.
We could eliminate half of it overnight.
Why wouldn't the government just build a similar service? Why the hell did they need us?
It would cost too much. They don't have the expertise. We already have the infrastructure.
You are absolutely right.
Government needs us more than we need them.
A woman lands a dream job at a powerful tech company called The Circle, only to uncover a nefarious agenda that will affect the lives of her friends, family, and that of humanity. Yes.
I'm going to read that the better way.
Okay. What the fuck?
A woman lands a dream job at a powerful tech company called The Circle, only to... I couldn't do
it. Yeah, you
it.
Couldn't
I'm
fucking
sorry.
Do it. You're not an actor. Get the
My
fuck out of here.
In a world.
In a world. This is
a film written and directed by James Ponsoldt, co-written also with the guy who wrote the book.
Yeah,
starring
David Eggers or something.
Dave Eggers.
David.
This guy has done movies like The Spectacular Now and The End of the Tour. Those two movies are the ones I've seen, and I really like so far. I liked all
I've
his movies.
I've seen half of those.
Is it The Spectacular Now?
I've seen zero of those.
Yeah, well, you should watch them. I think they're good.
Nah, I'm good.
Okay, fine. Fuck you. And this movie stars Emma Thompson, Watson. Fuck you. Shit.
Thompson.
Whatever. They're both English actors.
Fuck that.
They're Tommy Gunn.
English actors. Emma Watson, Tom Hanks, John Boyega, Eller Coltrane. Oh yeah, from about 12 Years a Boy, right?
Yep.
About a boy. What's the name of the boy? Boyhood.
Oh, that's where you saw him.
That's where I saw him.
Oh, yeah. Can
I kept thinking it was Weeds.
Weeds? No.
Was he like the youngest son in Weeds?
I don't think so. Maybe it was him.
You should look it up.
I don't think it's that important.
Anyways, he said Weeds, and I was like, I never cared for Weeds, so I wouldn't know. I saw him in something more recent, and it was Boyhood.
Also stars Karen Gillian from
Doctor Who,
right? Yeah.
Which he's like, who? Who?
Yeah, I didn't know.
Glenn Headley and Bill Paxton, which was the biggest. The late Bill Paxton. Of course, I'm.
Who played a guy who had MS?
Right. It was so.
Oh,
weird.
Is that who that was?
My first.
Seriously.
I don't know who Bill Paxton is,
bro.
Dude, William
plays
Paxton.
Okay. He plays those roles to a T, man. He's like that.
Not MS roles.
Tertiary characters.
Yeah. He's an Aliens motherfucker. Game over, man. How do you not know this? Twister?
It's game over, man.
Twister? You never seen Twister?
Yes, I've seen Twister.
So he's the whole movie.
He is the main star of that movie.
Him and that one girl.
Yeah, I saw Edge of Tomorrow. When I was a kid.
Edge of Tomorrow? Nothing?
I saw Edge of Tomorrow.
Okay, he's the Sarge. The Sergeant.
The fucking. Anyway, well, it was painful. I was like, when I was watching him
True
in that
Lies?
Movie, in The Circle, by the way, in The Circle, he plays a character who has
MS.
Multiple sclerosis. And it was strange watching an actor who's already just died recently. Dying in the movie, you know, he was. Thank God he didn't die in the movie. That would have been something. But I think this might be his last role. Maybe there might be another one, but I don't know.
Yeah, there might be.
But
that'd
be strange that this is his last role.
As long as they don't do a James Gandolfini thing where his movie just came out like 2 years ago.
Well, no, that's just production.
And the guy, I get it, but no, but it felt like they just waited to like gotta squeeze him in.
Anyway, I think we're missing the point. He is definitely a minor character in this movie. All right, so The Circle, guys. I would say it's hailed as the most controversial, the most audacious, and maybe the most effective horror movie of our generation. What do you guys think? Now, that's what I said, you know, jokingly when we left the theater today. By the way, we just saw this like literally an hour ago or less, right?
Yeah.
So this is just first impressions, thoughts, really. So our minds will probably change a little bit as time goes on.
Probably not, but yeah.
Mine's always changed a little bit.
Honestly. Yeah, I guess mine too.
Either usually negative. So The Circle, Raph, what did you think of the movie?
I thought it was better than what I thought it was going to be originally. This movie looked like a piece of trash. And
you were not excited at all?
No, I was not excited at all for this movie. Just looked like generic, bland crap.
Well, I picked it because of the director.
Looked very cultish thing.
Right.
Other than that, I came out thinking the movie was a lot better than I thought it was going to be, like I said. Still a lot of problems with the movie I have. Very one-dimensional movie. Other than that, I had fun watching it. I laughed at some certain moments. It was a lot more lighthearted than I thought it was going to be, even though it did have serious moments. And you know, some of the roles were really some of them were done well, and others were done very, very bad. So, like I said, there are problems with the movie. I'll get into it. I guess all in all, I would say...
I am curious to know what these are.
I would say I don't know if I'd rewatch the movie, but I would definitely tell somebody to watch the movie just because I think it's an interesting thing to talk about.
Okay. Luke, how about you? What say you?
I kind of enjoyed most of the movie.
I felt it
did some things right. I love how it... You know, showed you like this whole circle and the whole community that's in.
They didn't fucking show the circle.
They're so cultish, and there's all the sense of community, and everyone's going to interact with each other and all that
stuff. The most horrifying thing in this movie is the fact that every screen, every frame has hipsters.
Right. Not even that, it's just these geeks, and it's just like...
Yeah, Emma Watson.
It feels so like... This is what these companies are kind of like. You know, they try to get these people into super positive, and what they're doing is changing the world.
I don't know if you thought of this, Luke, but did you think of Silicon Valley while watching some of this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Me too. Yeah. Obviously, Silicon Valley takes it to a hilarious, overextended degree.
But
come on, right? Right.
Yeah, so that part, it's really cool. Brought up some issues about, privacy and sharing and all that other fun, responsibility, accountability. That was good. I just... kind of felt that the story was kind of a little meh, and I feel they should have kind of... Well, personally for me, I would like to see a more technical side to this, and then a more, more ethical questions.
I'm definitely going to ask follow-up questions to that,
because right.
I have no idea, both of you, where you guys are going to go with your stuff. I mean, this is just my first impression. Again, I think it will probably diminish.
Okay, you'll be wrong.
But, I mean, my opinions are what they are. Most likely wrong. So, I think that The Circle is a pretty fun, awesome movie. And by fun, I mean like for a movie that... it's weird because this movie feels like there's no stakes at all. Like
I don't see the meeting at all.
The idea of stakes in this movie is either non-existent or is as transparent as Emma Watson's character.
They obviously eat Soylent. So.
We should elaborate a little bit more on this movie where... The movie itself, the way it's directed and written and all that, it is very biased, right? It doesn't pretend. It's biased in the way it's, I think, directed and shown that that this is more culty and more in the wrong camp of how things should be in a progressive future, near future of ours. Okay. But the main character, which I forgot her name in the movie, was it
May?
I'll
remember like because
with an M.
I'll remember it because it's misspelled. Sure.
Oh, because it's M A E.
Exactly.
Instead of M A Y.
M-A-I-M-E-I.
M, is it M E I? Oh, you mean from really Overwatch? Okay, that's rough.
You got it though.
You're right though. I'm with you.
All of a sudden,
it's like that. But May will never be in this situation. So May, I think May's the only person that actually wants to. That sees it positively, even all the way to the end, which is the most surprising aspect for the movie. We'll spoil that when we get to it. But I think the fact that the movie takes that left turn.
Well, we also follow May 95% of the movie.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Which, if you want to look at it, we're looking at it through her perspective almost.
Right,
always.
And there's a meta component to that because the fact that we're watching the main character in a movie, which all movies are, but in this case, we're watching her exclusively, and then that character. It does a reverse Truman Show where she knows she's being watched by the whole world. And
Truman Show, still relevant.
It's very relevant.
God, I love
it. I thought of that movie four times at least.
I bring up Truman Show like 10 times a year. Like, that's how often Truman Show comes up for me.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy how you could relate that 10 times a year.
I feel like I can.
I know that many people.
Yeah, no, the Truman Show is very apt. It's a good movie. That's a movie that's ahead of its time. The Circle, it's very much in the now. It lives now. Like, I don't think if The Circle came out in 2003, I think it would be the next Truman Show.
Yeah, I guess.
Right? The Truman Show
would be like the next 1984.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, that's horrible.
Right. Yeah. And I think it would be people would be talking about it today.
It would also be
The Circle
nowadays,
unfortunately.
No way.
This movie might just be buried under the movie of the week or just the year movie, right? It won't be, probably won't reach much farther. I heard the book is amazing, though, but I haven't read it either. So.
I think I own it.
The book?
Yeah.
How do you know? How do you not know you own?
Feels bad.
In Colorado, I bought a lot of books on my Kindle.
That he didn't even open once.
No, none of them.
I started reading some during laundry.
He pushed the dust off of his Kindle.
It dust, not even off the book jacket, right?
Because everything gets dusty.
Right, of course. It's Colorado. The dust.
Dry
state.
Skin.
The dust state, right? That's what they call it.
Pretty sure they don't.
We'll read in Alaska. Just don't take your PS4.
Oh my God. Regardless.
Yes, right, The Circle. So I fell out with it clearly, seemingly, a lot more than you guys. I don't think I foresaw any huge problems on my end that I can see as like a big negative for the movie. I can't. I feel like this movie is pressuring you to have an opinion on something before you even watch the movie. So it goes without saying that maybe we should probably talk about that at some point, what the movie is actually trying to say in the context, which is like, do we want a world anywhere near like The Circle is? Anywhere near. I'm saying like more ideally than this.
Make-believe? No.
Not make-believe, but this fact that...
this whole community of everyone sharing and everything being connected.
Right.
You mean basically what we have now? No.
I mean, but you guys share in some of that community stuff, not only with Facebook, because The Circle is the equivalent
of
Facebook.
I really take pictures,
hold on, guys.
But I agree.
I'm just saying.
I got to post a picture of this honey bun on Instagram.
But there are people that you know that would do that.
He's going to take a pill and take like a live video
right?
of where
with Snapchat
goes.
Alone. With Twitch, yes. Rob, you watch
but that is...
I'm just saying.
But that's kind of by choice. In this movie, it went to the fact that it was like, it's...
Well, they're clearly breaking a lot
going
of...
Going to like a by force
They're clearly
thing.
Breaking a lot of laws and a lot of ethical things as well. So like, and then it's just being washed.
No, ethics is thrown out the window. Like, the one scene
that's
that...
what I'm saying, but it's being washed away. And
right.
I get it that we're watching it through her point of view, or May's point of view in the movie. And at the same time... They bring it up, and this is where the movie kind of some of the things about the movie that I don't like. They bring it up once, and they just leave it be.
Bring what part up once? Say it again.
They brought it up like twice in the movie.
Brought what up?
The fact that they're like unethical, unlawful things. It's just like a wash. Like everyone's just like, no, we're not. You know?
Right. No, I mean,
I get that the movie's trying to tell you like, well, we're this cult thing, and we live in our own circle. Go figure. Right?
Right.
That we don't need to care about what anybody else does or says, right? About us. We think we're doing right, so we're doing right.
No, I think the answer is much more simple than that. I don't think that the movie wouldn't have done it if it didn't make sense. I think it didn't do it because Emma Watson bought into it. It's her POV, right? So it makes sense that we see what she wants to see. We're seeing what she, like, it's an omission, right? It's like, what do you call that thing when you only look for the truth that you seek, but not the actual truth?
Sure, no.
I forgot there's a term
for it. Bias?
No, there's a term for it. I just can't think of it. Someone's yelling it right now into my ear, but yeah. I don't know. Listeners, email me. So I don't think it's a... I don't see that as a problem.
Me. Don't email.
Right. I just don't see that as a problem because the movie's staying true to the protagonist, you know? Like, we see her being crazy.
Yes.
Like, acting like, what the fuck are you guys telling me when they're telling her about, like, you were gone this weekend and your parents have MS? And like, how do you know all this shit? Like, we're reacting the way she's reacting because it's weird. Right?
Yes and no. I think the movie changes after her accident in the water.
Right.
And there's a big key change after that. And, yep. I'll agree with anything after that. But anything before, I disagree with you. Because she is still a person, I would say a normal person in regards to this movie, mm-hmm. right, who likes her privacy, who appreciates the fact that certain things should be kept separate from, you know, the viewing world or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I get that she doesn't buy into it 100% until after her accident. And then she completely buys into it, right? But it just, there's like this weird leap where we have to make, I get the leap. And it makes perfect sense after the accident happens.
Right.
That's not the issue. But I'm saying before that, there's never a struggle of her saying she's drinking the Kool-Aid all the time. Like, you see it in her face, but her face just looks like that all the time, like she's constipated or something. Like, she has a problem with, like, her body. Like, something's bothering her. Right?
I thought it was RBF.
Okay. But I feel this is what I feel about the
Oscar,
movie.
It's resting bitch face.
Okay.
Like,
say the fucking thing.
Sorry. That's the acronym, everything, dude. He's a millennial. Anyways. Ow.
He's older than you.
But we're still millennials.
Yeah.
So
by like a few months.
That's okay.
Right. So, I was a millennial.
Regardless, what I was saying is that before that, when like in the beginning of the movie, she makes this before she makes the change, we're to believe that she likes her privacy. She's this person who doesn't agree with mm-hmm. everything the circle wants, and like what's it called? And she's actually somebody who wants to like find the truth out. Thus, you see her doing these article things in the movie, but they only show it once, and they never go into it any more than that. And I feel like they wash over that way too much, way too fast. Maybe the book is different, like I said. Then they do
positive, it will
right?
Be,
I'm pretty like, sure it would be.
Or be more
then
detailed.
They do then the afterword where she's completely in the Kool-Aid in a pool
that's
of Kool-Aid.
So funny! I did not see that way.
I did,
but yeah. Hulu, could you agree with that? What do you think of that?
Sorry if I took me too long.
The before the NDE, that's near death experience.
NDE, did you say?
NDE. Yeah.
Okay, I only heard ND.
No, NDE. Okay. Because DE and...
Right.
Okay. Ruff, Luke, fuck, whatever your name is.
Yeah, that's a good aspect. I just thought...
Millennial one.
I didn't think about it that way, okay, but... So yeah, I could see it. Honestly, I thought that she was playing some kind of... She had like some ulterior agenda. Because, you know, when she first meets up with, what's the guy? It's
Ty.
And he shows her all this stuff. And, you know, he's like, oh, I sense that something's different about you.
Attack the Block dude, right?
You mean Star Wars Rogue One dude?
I know, I went there. That's a better movie. Sorry. I went
there. You mean Star Wars The Force Awakens?
Thank you.
I know.
That's how I know you didn't know anything. It was a test. You failed.
I knew what it was.
Right. So I thought she was going to have like an interior motive. Like she was going to go in and try to like sabotage or whatever. But like she went fucking full force. Like she went in all into the Kool-Aid.
No, I don't. I think before the...
No, she went from a sip to a fucking gallon.
No. I think before the NDE. Nice. Very nice.
Instead of just drinking it, she started making it and distributing it.
Yeah.
I mean, by the end, yeah. She I mean, not by the end, by the third act.
No, like, it's after that near-death experience. It's like I get doubling down on it, right?
No, right. Okay, so I think this whole movie does hinge on that near-death experience.
Oh, for sure.
It hinges on it. Without that kayaking, which was set up very well, I think. Very, very well, because we've seen her kayaking alone. We've seen her, like, be chummy with the kayak people, which means illustrates that she's done it many times.
Right. Yeah.
And we've seen her...
Right, they set it up fine.
That strange, you know, where that guy's like, I do kayaking. We and kayaking together, right? They set up all this stuff, and not right, Ralph. The setup of her being rewarding of her own privacy, and you know, like a regular normal person, I guess. Yeah, it's all there, and I think her nearly dying and being saved because of the lack of privacy that she didn't know about. It does splinter her off. It does create a trauma that she, in turn, makes it into these technology. What is it called? Soul Search? And then the other one was called what?
No, Soul Search was the second one.
Right, the first one.
The first one is Sea Search, no?
Sea Change. Well, Sea Change is what spiked Sea Change's possibilities because it was already created before the near death, and then Soul Search came from that trauma.
Right.
And I think it, like, if there was a psychology component, if there's one thing I would have wanted in this movie that didn't have it, that wasn't appeared, is a psychology component. Because if anything, how are those people not staffed and telling her stuff? And because that's like rule number one about victims that, you know, survive something harrowing, right? I think that aspect was forgotten and maybe should have been explored a lot more or at all in order to make that connection that her idea for Soul Search was good intended. Yes, you know, it's like when something really bad happens and they create a law because of that, and in turn those laws create other problems down the road. That's exactly what this is, taking in a smaller thing with this fake world. So I think that's really fascinating, and I love that the movie hinges on it and sets it up right, and it's so cool. But before that, I do think that it was just pressure. Like, as this, I would take that job, knowing even everything. I wouldn't want to be in her shoes. But, like, that sounds like an awesome opportunity regardless of anything.
The one scene I did not like because she wasn't true to her person, but I understood afterwards. Like, I didn't like it when I saw it, and I understood after watching the whole movie.
The subway tunnel?
Huh?
Is it the subway tunnel?
No.
Okay.
It's the moment where she gets, talked to by HR or whatever about her not having her profile set up. And, you know, she needs to.
Is this
to
with, that, with the doctor or with the two guys?
No, with the two guys.
The two people.
Oh, that crazy scene.
One's a chick and one's a guy. So, but yeah, that's that one scene.
I thought you wanted more of those scenes, though.
No. So that's what I'm saying. Right. So I like the scene. Like I said, I didn't like it because I felt that she wasn't true to her person at that moment. Because her persona right there would have been to, like, not argue the point, but would have been to, like, defend herself, like, yeah, I just like to have my own privacy over things.
You don't think she's afraid of her, like, fucking up or saying the wrong answer?
Hold on. Right. So, I get where you're going with the, like,
yeah.
I thought it was more like the way I saw it, actually, I didn't even see about her fucking up. I saw it more of I'm taking constructive criticism here, and let me try to do this. Let me actually try to go into it instead of, you know, doing my normal self. My normal self is shitty compared to this, you know, that's how I saw it more.
I think it's like,
afterwards,
but in that scene, I thought it was more of a, I'm the new worker, I'm gonna try to, you know, be the best because there's potential in me. I mean, I don't want to go back to driving this shitty ass car.
That's exactly what I thought. Yeah.
Although it looks like she had a better car in the middle of the movie, but then towards the end she went back to her old car.
Probably when she went out that sabbatical for 4 days, she was just using that car.
These white people keep their old cars when they buy brand new cars?
She never had a new car. When she buy a new car?
I honestly don't remember any of this. I don't remember any of this. I'm just taking his word for it. I don't remember any car, honestly.
I don't remember her driving a car. She got in a shuttle.
No, there was another scene. She was driving a car, and I was looking at the dashboard.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I remember that.
That's got to be a new car, because it's not her old car.
Oh, I don't remember that.
So
it was weird that they called this place, the circle, like the buildings, like a campus. Like it's a college town.
Yeah.
It was funny
that the whole circular campus.
Yeah,
it's what Apple's building right now,
and I believe it. Like, I mean, except that they're a little bit more nefarious, or a little less
Apple
scary.
Or the circle.
Oh, the circle.
Nefarious and the
answer is yes.
Yes. Of course. Yeah, I mean,
they're poking at Apple and Google here. Like, there's a big poke at Apple and Google.
Oh, I think Dave Eggers, I mean, I haven't read any of his stuff. I'm curious to see what the man's politics are because I think it does reflect highly on
today's
show.
This is what I like a lot about the movie. The movie, what it brings up, and that's why I say I would tell somebody, you should watch it because it's going to bring up a lot of questions.
Right.
And the fact that if you have no questions after this, or you have either no questions or no comments to make after this movie, you're just not fit to be on social media.
Dave Eggers wrote A Hologram for the King.
Which makes a lot of sense because that was Tom Hanks. And you know, it's funny. It's so funny. When he came on stage the first time, Tom Hanks on that Friday
total
thing.
Steve Jobs vibe.
That too. I thought of a lot of things that are normal, right? Sure. But I thought of like, I mean, did he do Hologram for the King to like test for this movie? Huh? And even though I haven't seen Hologram for the King, I've seen enough trailers and clips. And then Ralph, you told me a lot about it because you saw it. Yeah. That I thought of that, and it makes sense, of course, that Dave Eggers wrote the original novel or screenplay or both.
He wrote the original novel.
Novel, got it.
And I think he was involved. With the screenplay.
I'm super curious now to read that book. I'm not going to watch the movie because Ralph, you didn't recommend it, and I believe you. But Tom Hanks, perfect casting. Am I wrong?
You're not.
He's so charming.
That man can do no wrong.
He can't
do
wrong.
He's just so charming, yeah.
Right, but it's like the Cloud Atlas role. He'll come out to be a murderer at the end.
I thought Patton Oswalt did a good job also.
Yeah, of being like the background hard ass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I thought he reacted perfectly when at the very end also. It's just like his persona felt like that person.
Yeah, you know what? I was really worried. This is my main worry about this movie, and this is where I really think I came out really loving it too. In the third act, which starts in and around the death of Mercy?
No. Mercer.
Mercer, sorry. Mercer. Fucking Overwatch. Mercer.
You just tweaked a bunch of names.
Yes, you did. So, Patton Oswalt, the COO, right, of the
COO,
company,
yeah.
Is egging her on to keep going. Mercer. Pick Mercer. Talk about it. Don't shy away. Sure. He keeps pushing it. And I'm like, the more I saw that, I'm like, oh, no. Not only is this going to fail. I didn't think it was going to end to his death, but it failed. The whole thing failed. And I thought it was going to be the classic.
They found him, so I thought it was successful.
Her going against the company in the traditional way, like The Firm, maybe.
Right.
Or like, I mean, but The Firm is a great movie, but that's also a staple of that movie shouldn't be doing anymore, right? So I thought it was going to become so cliche. I'm like, oh, no, movie, don't do this to me. Because I'm like, and it didn't do that. Instead, it tried to actually innovate on its own principles and infrastructure that they said that were established. By the way, great meeting on that pitch, by the way. It did that, and not only did it do it thematically to the movie and the story, but it did it to the actual points that the movie's trying to talk about, the Black Mirror stuff, where they're, you know, they're trying to connect the world and all that in a good way, not in a bad way, not in a legit bad way. It felt an actual progression to something by exploiting or exposing the circle's leaders. The circle leaders, yeah. So I thought that was really cool. I mean, I thought that was not a twist per se, because it's not twisty, but it's... I thought it was a super cool way to end the movie or to make a solution out of something that didn't seem to be ever a solution other than tearing it down. Right? Am I wrong in thinking that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I get what you're talking about. I have a big problem, and especially this. It came on towards the end of the movie, and especially the Mercer scene right after. And I know you're going to defend it because you're just going to defend it because it's going to happen. But it's the fact that there is no ever criticism about that they're doing something wrong or they did something wrong and they're not even willing to admit that something wrong happened.
Man.
So especially after that Mercer scene, no one ever blames themselves,
right?
Or like, because it's clearly their fault.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, that was my first thought.
Instead, it's
right.
More like...
But instead, they double down on like the fact that, well, if we had sensors in the car, wouldn't have happened.
I thought they were talking about the rail.
If he was on social,
they're talking about.
No, they were called a car.
Okay.
If he was on social media and we knew he had problems, wouldn't have happened.
Oh yeah, the way he's talking about his psychosis, like you know the fucking guy, you don't know shit.
Right, exactly.
The guy's being harangued by all these people.
But they never bring it up.
About? Right.
They never, whatever.
No, I mean they bring it up very lightly in no way, Billy.
But yeah. Next to nothing.
Right.
But even before that, they never bring up anything that nothing they do. Some of it is ethically wrong or morally wrong or everything wrong. They never do that, and I get you're defending it. Your defense is going to be, well, she's in the Kool-Aid, right?
Right.
And we're seeing everything,
we're in the
right?
Circle, right?
Right, exactly. But even when she's out of the circle, no one ever tells her. Like, even her parents couldn't tell her that.
It seems like what we wanted is another 10 minutes of her being in the outside world. Those 4 days.
Not even 10 minutes. I just needed, like...
No. I'm not saying for that. For other
right.
things, too.
I just needed, like, a one-minute scene.
No. I think for other things, too, I'm saying. That could have been fleshed out a bit more. Like, her weaning off, her fucking, what do you call it, withdrawal.
Yeah.
Her withdrawal from the circle in those 4 days of her being absent after Mercer's death, I think that would have been more pivotal to create a little bit more information.
I also felt...
Clearly, that's what we want.
I also felt the conversation with her friend in the bathroom was lackluster in the fact that her friend didn't just go rambling on about how much of him she's in the Kool-Aid or anything crazy like that. And then also when they had this conversation on the phone during her weaning off thing, there was a lack of the fact that, like, hey,
no, I'll cop
they're
to...
doing morally wrong. She brings it up a couple times, but they never, like, actually talk about it. And you're just like, why are you pussyfooting around it? I don't understand.
I mean, I'll cop to the friend not being a great choice in this movie.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because they want the audience member to figure out themselves.
Figure out themselves what exactly?
That they're fucking up. But they don't want to tell you in the movie, because then you feel smarter and you're like, hey, I know what's up.
No, man, that ain't Kaiser Soze.
No, it's not about that. It's about,
yeah,
I want a genuine reaction from somebody saying they're fucking up. Like, that's the thing.
I think we wanted the equivalent of someone in the street spitting in her face for creating this havoc.
Ty was kind of like that guy. Like, hey, look, you know, I built this thing and they're just using it for the wrong stuff. That's why.
And he wasn't. And that's another part I hate about the movie, because Ty is almost useless in this whole movie.
Yeah, honestly, they're just like, hey, we got this John guy.
That's John Boyega, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We got this John guy. We can put him in something and put his name on the film and only show 5 minutes of him.
Right. Like,
3 minutes cool of him standing.
I mean,
cool scene in the beginning.
No, I mean, he's the only reason he's there, unfortunately, without being flashed out.
It's for the third act.
It's for the reveal to have all the secrets come out, because obviously she can't do that herself.
Exactly. That's sad.
Which is so funny. It's also very funny that a customer service representative, which is something I was for like 2 years, is the leader of all this, inadvertently, of course. The spokesperson, right?
Yeah.
The figurehead, in a way.
Right.
And at first I thought, that, you know, halfway through the movie when she was plugging herself to the world, Truman style, I thought they were going to go in the route of, like, you know, they have that movie with Matthew McConaughey, also Real Life TV, remember? I forgot the name. Like, Ed TV or something? Ed TV, I think that's the name.
Yeah, Ed TV.
Yeah, yeah. And there was another reference that I got that was good. I thought of it in the movie, but I didn't write it down. I didn't have any notes. But I thought that was really good. I thought they were going to go with a scapegoat route.
Yeah.
I saw hers being a scapegoat.
I think we all did. But
and I thought that
clearly would have happened probably eventually.
Sure, eventually, yeah.
It didn't go on that
route. Well, I think what they did a great job with, and what I really enjoyed about the movie, because I did like the movie at some parts, right? And overall, I did like the movie, was when she came to the conclusion, because she's in the fucking Kool-Aid completely, about we don't need laws, or we need to, the whole thing about... like, she stands up in front of everybody when she's in the meeting, and she's like, we need to have everybody registered to vote
right,
come through our system, right?
I honestly, well, I admit right now, I want some of those things.
Right. And I get that. Right,
I believe in some of those
things. Right, exactly. And she believes it, but she believes it to the
point. Do you believe in voting?
I believe if it's mandatory, it's cool.
Oh, it's only cool if everyone's got... I thought it's cool when you rebel.
No, I like... If I have the right not to do it and I don't like any of the candidates, I'm not going to vote. No, of course not.
Sure.
But, like...
Well,
that's...
I believe it should be a day that's separated completely
right.
to allow everybody
and they
to
have
vote.
Dry days, so there won't be drinks while they're voting. I get that. Those are good ideas.
Yeah.
They're not
or
bad ideas.
You get a drink token after you vote.
But the main thing...
Dude, that's even better. That's
high five. I saved our system.
Fucking just saved it right now.
Drink tokens, bitch.
All right, okay. Have fun. People can be train tokens like crazy. right? But at the same time, I also understand that... that it's not, I mean, most of that, but the rest of that stuff in that meeting, I was like, God, I feel violated just thinking about
it, yeah.
Like, I would immediately log out of the Facebook circle.
Well, they let her do it, because she would have became the scapegoat. Yeah. If anything bad happened, it was her idea, guys. Y'all wanted her, like, we just gave her a platform to do it, you know?
They gave her a voice.
Exactly. I really enjoyed that part, though, even though I hated it.
It's a great meeting, yeah, but you're
right. Exactly.
It's horrifying. It's a horror movie.
It's a very horrifying part,
yeah.
But it was a really good part of the movie also.
Right. And then you think of today and the most recent stuff with Brexit and the whole election thing, and like a little of that could have gone a long way.
Yeah.
You know, a little of that, not saying all of it.
Right.
But like, I'm not saying we need a Santos representative, right? That earlier senator or whatever, congresswoman.
Dude, I looked at Luke immediately and I was like, that motherfucker's paid. Santos?
Yeah.
Oh, she's hella paid.
She got money bags galore.
Dude, if I'm going to sacrifice every single moment of privacy, minus 3 minutes a day for bathroom breaks, I will want to be paid up the ass. If I'm going to do that, because I'll never do it. Because it'll never happen. I will never do it.
You can't be paid up the ass, because then the people will know you're getting paid up the ass.
I don't care. Then I won't do it. That's what I'm saying. It
offshore
won't
account. Offshore, oh, man. I'm only in Congress for the next 8 years or whatever. You know?
That's a long time. I mean, for life, you can be.
Yeah.
If you.
It's like, oh, I had Mexican last night. I might have to take more than 3 minutes in the bathroom.
God, the circle eliminated all hookers professionally from that one.
Oh, this is an old college friend of mine. Stardust.
Yeah. You have to give her a script beforehand.
Right.
We have to go get some drinks. You can't type it up.
Stardust.
Yeah.
You want to show me your new pole dancing class?
Oh, me and Stardust.
You want to go to the bathroom together for 3 minutes?
Yes.
For a quick pee?
I'm going to give you, I'm going to put my
that's going to ruin relationships.
I'm going to put my cam on my cat and call it Cat Cam.
I'm so glad they didn't go with a dating route thing, because that could have been so easily done.
Yeah. Can you imagine the guys like, yeah.
Because on top of everything, we have to deal with a romance or what dating life is like under the circle. I don't want to.
Another thing that I like about the movie is, and actually it's another thing that kind of stays true, true on topic for the circle thing, is that when she is live to everybody, she gets these comments.
Really funny. I love those comments.
Those comments were really funny.
We were laughing at
those
comments.
Before that, there's never a negative comment, or very few negative comments in them sometimes, right? But there's almost never a negative comment, and it's because obviously it's being filtered that she's not getting these negative comments, and it's all positive, positive, positive.
Right.
Another cool scene in the movie, and before after the comments you guys can get on, is after she gets, when she gets back and she's not streaming after Mercer's death, she doesn't get highs from anybody. She doesn't get anything like that.
Oh, I know.
Nobody's
that too.
Nice to her. Yep. Nobody's whatever. Everyone just kind of looks at her like, oh, wow, like whatever. That's her, and keeps away from her. Like, we don't know if she's being shunned or not. And the moment she goes live, everybody's the nicest person all of a sudden again. So, and it's just an interesting.
That's
obviously done on purpose.
That's humanity. That's humanity on the internet in a nutshell.
And honestly, when she started streaming her life, it was like 3 weeks in. She wakes up, oh, I gotta get my coffee or whatever. She looked drained. Like, because you gotta talk to these people.
Yeah, sometimes when she was like self-narrating, you know, I'm just brushing my teeth. You know, like, oh, you don't have to say anything. Right. You're doing this for months now.
Right, well, that's the thing is that she's been, she knows she doesn't have to say anything, but she's like,
I know.
But should I?
It's a sad part. Yeah, of course. It's a complex thing. It's not an easy thing. You probably do the same, Roth, if you were in that position. Not that you'd ever be in that position, but because you'd have to go through a lot of hurdles to get to that.
Like brushing my teeth. There's a hole in my underwear, but it's still a good pair, so I'm going to keep it.
Not going to lie, guys.
That's every
man. Shower.
That's every
flipping man. This bitch inside out. Let's do this.
Wow. So, I mean, how are we with the...
You get our underwear 4 times, guys.
I mean, how do you guys feel about the invasion of privacy? Even, like, I'm not saying this is happening to us, but in a way, it is happening to us in a smaller, different way. Like, the fact that we can watch a Twitch stream and a YouTube thing and a Facebook thing and a Snapchat thing, all these things, and Instagram, so all these things together, if one person also has all these accounts, which most people do, that we know anyway... They encapsulate a life without actual thoughts, right?
Sure.
Without the actual thinking part, which is the only thing that's really private, right? And this is happening now, but the fact that all these things are owned by different people and are regulated differently because they're all by different people that are, you know, getting money from each other is a competition, right? Twitter is not with Facebook. Facebook is not with Snapchat. I hope not. Anyway, now the fact that this movie brings it all in one company, one place, is the actual scary thing for me. And I think inherently for a lot of people that be watching this, even if they're not thinking about it, if they get the message of the movie, how the invasion of privacy to this degree, to this exaggerated, let's all be safe, guys, degree that will not work, it's horrifying. I think that they'll think that. Maybe they won't know, but I think they'll know that we're having those problems. It's just that they're separate entities.
Yeah.
Do you guys agree with that kind of? Because I think that's probably one of the questions.
Of course, yeah. That's exactly
what it is. Things about the movie. Luke, do you agree with that? And do you want privacy?
I believe we have the choice.
Right.
We have the choice, exactly what it is. We have the choice to put whatever the fuck we want on Facebook.
So there's like this really weird line between this. It's like, yes, there should be privacy. Yes, there should be certain things we should know. And especially when they were like bringing it up in the beginning with like, you know, politics and leaders, you know, all these people that are working for us. But,
or
you know,
killer mom.
You know, yeah. Or, you know, but they have like an 11% approval rating. So, you know, we got to keep these people in check. I can agree with some of that, but I still believe to an extent there needs to be privacy. Something, you know, there's got to be these backdoor deals and things of that nature. Because that's how the world is.
So you just said both answers. Which one do you, like, what do you...
There's a fine line. There's a compromise.
I know. But what do you personally would want? No, man, I'm not saying...
Okay, dude, honestly, this
I'm not saying to be a genie here. You don't have actual powers to create this. I'm just saying.
It's one of those internal moral struggles. I cannot give you a definite answer.
Which is why I mean, I think there is a definite answer in everybody. Like, I...
And mine is that there's a fine ground for middle. I think there's privacy.
There's no such thing as a middle, though. That's the problem.
No, you're right.
There's my middle.
How's this?
I hear you.
Overall,
that's fine.
Would you want to be private on certain aspects?
Yes, I guess
there you go.
Certain things should be private,
but you don't want the thing where it was for this movie. That's what we're getting at. How they went to the extent of this movie where nothing was private,
right?
That's what I'm saying.
For example, like,
but certain things should be private, and other things should be fucking public as a motherfucker. I agree.
Right, I'm always a believer if politics are into question in any way, they should be. The politicians are there for us. It's a very simple thing. They're not more powerful than us. They are beneath us because they work for us. That's their whole point. The president is a servant to the country, not the other way around.
Right.
I think that we should definitely do whatever in that power to make people believe that. I mean, believe it. Knowing it and believing it are two different things.
Because
it's not happening, right? Yes, Naruto. Right. And then two, and I don't know what kind of invasion of privacy I'm asking for in that solution. Don't know what that looks like because I'm not a real healer. I'm not an economic professor or whatever the hell. So, but I would want that. And some of this movie is ringing true for me, like 10-15%, right?
Yeah.
I would say. And some of those lines of dialogue in the movie, yeah, I look at it with dismay. And others, I look like, yay, man.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, I hate that they didn't go into it too much. Right. Where,
yeah,
because like their startup is like
there'd be no art.
Well, like for example, the whole right. The sea search, right? Or the
sea change.
My apologies.
Terrible name, by the way.
Right.
I didn't like the name.
But the whole thing about the sea change thing. Was they touch on it where Tom Hanks touches on it when he does his like
he doesn't surf
his PowerPoint display, right?
Yeah.
His surfboard in his office says different. Other than that, is that he does
production team system.
He brings it up where like he's like we can go in like you know if there's what's it called. If there's strikes, if there's this, if there's that.
See, that's the run-through like, for me.
Right, exactly.
Like, that was kind of cool.
They touch on it, yeah. Right? But they never go anything past it. And, right. Like, they never go, like, we're here for the little man. We're trying to help out the little man. And that's what they're relying on. They're relying on the little man, the little people, right? To help them out, to change big government, right? Or big companies. And, like, hey, and then they're, in the end, they're taking control of everything, right? But they never, they touch on it very lightly, and then they just leave it be. And then they give you the hope of, like, well, yeah, everybody, all the little men are... They're helping us out. They're putting it everywhere, mm-hmm. You know, and stuff like that. I'm surprised a lot of people haven't gotten fired from their jobs because they're on their phone watching these press conferences and then being able to interact with everybody right away.
Yeah. I think I didn't like, though, that I thought you would get, like, actual applause or from or something more comforting was when everyone was videotaping her in the lobby with Mercer, the last conversation, I think, right? And they're fighting, and he's like, I didn't kill any fucking deer and all this shit, right? And he storms off, right? And everyone just keeps... I know that the movie... Like, no, the way it's set to dissolve into the city skyline. But, like, it looked weird. It looked like no one's really there for her in the very company and place that you're breeding, connecting. And no one's connecting to her. And right. Then they're just staring at her with their iPads.
You know, everyone's there with their fucking iPads, but no one can look up...
That scene both pissed me off.
Make chandeliers out of antlers.
And not in a good way. Not in a way that the movie's trying to make me think about the world. It's more like... this is against what the movie's been. I didn't think the scene worked as well as my point. Yeah, I'm not saying this movie's perfect by any means. I just love the fact that it stuck to his guns and every aspect as a movie and a structure of a movie and a directional viewpoint and acting viewpoint and all that. I think the movie always stays with its guns, probably to its detriment at some points. If you guys wanted more or different things out of it, clearly. I don't think I got the full picture as I wanted, as I would have liked.
Sure,
but it was a full picture of May.
Sure.
And that's what the movie was about, so I can't blame the movie too much.
Yes and no. But yeah,
I know, sure. Yes and no, I right. know. Yeah.
There's a lot of internal struggle going on that we'll never get, that we have to leave to the actress to display visually.
Well, barring a Goodfellas voiceover, that's all, you know.
But that's what I'm saying. But,
or maybe a much better actress, I don't know.
No. But I'm saying it's not her fault.
Right.
Because there's a lot to display, though.
There's a lot to this movie, too. It's just so much stuff. And just like technology, it's all about the eye, right? It's all what we're seeing all the time.
Right.
Any last thoughts on this?
Those cameras would never work. How do they stick on things? What's the battery life on them?
How do they recharge?
Right. Seriously. It's like Silicon Valley, right? The fake technology, right?
Sure.
It's like a Black Mirror episode. It won't happen yet, But it seems like that something's going to happen within our lifetime.
But I want to know.
I'm just saying. Like, that's how Black Mirror episode makes you feel, right?
Right. Also, do you cater to companies? Like, they have a target red color, so you could put them on, like, all the reds.
I really love like the effects of her. Like, when she was starting her job and they were doing the approval rating of her own customer service, right? The 80%, 60%, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it started with that. And then, you know, before when she's heavy in the Kool-Aid, there's all these insane. There's like, at one point, it's like 9 screens. I think I counted it. 9 screens she's
facing. She had screens. So some guy wrote, wish I had a screen to monitor all my other screens.
Yeah right.
Yeah, those comments were funny, man.
Yeah, those comments were great. And I wish
I was like, my girlfriend just broke up with me.
I read that one too. Which is a testament to our time because we can read all those really fast because we're so used to that kind of thing.
And another person was like, I haven't stood up in over 12 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
Just
like weird. It was. I mean, I want to know the translations for the Germans and the Chinese ones, and I want to see all of them. That's much like that stuff. Yeah, so good effects, good use of those effects anyway, like in the movie. Glad that, you know, it leaned into it. I was saying, any last points, Luke, any of you?
Not that I can think of right now.
I mean, this is your last chance, so it's not whenever, motherfucker.
That last scene where, you know, she's kayaking and she's kind of by herself.
No.
And then you see have like, you get those like two drones that just come up and like follow her. And like, I don't know, but her like facial expression is kind of like, fucking hell.
Is that what you thought? Okay, let's talk about this now.
Like, I'm getting sick of this shit, but then she's like, I'm kind of like, you know, I gotta go through with this.
No, I actually saw it more like, oh, I have my guardian angels with me.
Yeah.
That's how it felt to me. That's exactly
or
what it was.
Or I'm Emma fucking Watson. Look how beautiful I am, because she looked fucking beautiful. And I'm seeing, and it just that smile. Jesus Christ.
Sure. This is another problem with the movie at the very end, was like the fact that, like, was that the vision that Ty wanted?
Really
what was that the vision that Ty was talking about? I didn't want my thing to become this. Okay, I get
no.
it. Right?
No, I do think it's a better one, but it ain't
right.
It ain't ideal.
Right? No, I get that.
It's
but
her
like,
version.
There's right. It's her version. More of more her version than his version. But I think a weird thing. It's like I just didn't like Ty's useless in the movie. That's what I'm saying.
You right? Yeah. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, I got nothing.
It looks like you hate this movie.
What I'm saying, that's what I said. That's why I don't love the movie like you do.
No, it's fine.
I'm not in the Kool-Aid. I'm not in the pool of Kool-Aid like you are.
Right,
I took a sip of the Kool-Aid. It tasted okay.
That's fine.
Needs more sugar.
I happen to like artificial cherry sugar. I'm good.
Always needs more sugar.
What, cherry's the best. No, bro, grape. All right.
No, cherry. Come on. All right, so that's it for The Circle. Extra long review, more than usual anyway. That's always good, I think. No? Yes? I agree. Everyone, stop agreeing with me.
Where's my phone?
Oh, it's over here.
Would you be a pro and know things?
Yeah, right. Okay. I just want to make sure I have the shit for the next show and shit. Okay. Anyway, so you have been listening to another movie podcast. Always remember, you can send us information, opinions, thoughts, especially on The Circle, because I think it's wide open for a lot of interpretation, over at podmoviecast@gmail.com. You can follow me personally on Twitter and Letterboxd under Armen Filmmaker. That's Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Luke?
I like to follow you down dark corridors.
Oh, my God. That was creepy.
That was creepy. Yeah.
Yeah.
At Blind Noir.
On Twitter. And Ralph?
You can follow me on Twitter at Gamer Ralph with two R's and an F. Shut up, Luke. You can follow me on Twitch at Sue Trauma.
What are you doing lately?
Oh, I'm going to be doing Outlast 2.
Oh, the Outlastening.
And you can follow me on Instagram at Blind Noir, Facebook Blind Noir.
Oh, you want people to follow me on Facebook?
Any other social things at Blind Noir.
And at The Circle, too, under the same name.
Our Circle, Blind Noir.
Remember,
Google Plus, Blind Noir.
Fucking Christ. Remember, we are a bi-weekly show. We come out every other Friday. Next time, May the 12th. We are doing a double feature as far as a marathon goes for our animation marathon. We're doing two films from Hayao Miyazaki. Do you know which two films? Luke, one of yours is? Do you remember?
He's going to say mine.
That's mine.
It's Spirited Away. Okay. And we'll be doing one of Roth's movies, which is? Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, which you can find pretty easily in a lot of platforms.
Hayao
Miyazaki Disney did a lot of dubs for all this shit. So they're easy to find.
And they're
everywhere.
Really good dubs also.
Really good dubs.
And it'll be my first time watching them.
Both, right? Wow.
Yeah.
What a I wish I was in your shoes because these are great movies to discover.
And I might watch Totoro just in case.
I mean, not just in case. Watch that yesterday.
You should just watch it. Yeah,
you should just watch
I've
it.
I've seen both. They're good. They're both
they're
good
really
movies,
good, yeah. And then we'll end our show with a newer release movie, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Are you guys excited for this movie? I mean, we are pretty big fans of the first, right?
Hell motherfucking yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
I hope it really doesn't suffer from sequelitis too much.
You know that the Doritos is supposed to be releasing a special bag?
No, I don't know.
Of chips through Amazon that has like a cassette tape in it and you can listen to the music?
Fuck you.
It's going to be on Amazon
Do
today.
Do they have a tape deck?
On April 28th.
Tape deck?
Oh, I think so. I don't know when it's coming out, but it should be sometime
today. A tape deck is for your car. Like are they good? Who has a way to play these things?
I have a cassette player.
I know we do because we're old and Mexican. But
yeah,
like,
we're like cusp of not being millennials, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm not. I'm like
actually,
just
I think
off
it's
the cuffs.
Having as a millennial thing to have cassette players, record players.
Yeah, I'll walk around with my Walkman.
Yeah, Mr. Record Player dude, right? Mr. That's you. Oh my God, you're a millennial. You are. Look at you. Loving Star Wars and,
all right,
and
anyways,
records.
Are we ending this?
Yeah, we're going to end it now. Say goodbye, guys.
I hate you, Oscar.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Coffee and pie.
Coffee and pie? Oh, my.
You didn't hear it from me.
Take it away.
Right, so we're going to start reviewing Perfect Blue.
Honestly,
can we call
not
it
a lot of blue in the
Perfecto
movie.
Blue?
Not enough blue. All right.
Lack of blue.
Right? There's not a lot of blue in this movie.
All right, maybe
unless
they're
talking
here.
About like blues.
All right,
unless it's like the blue isn't actually the color.
Shit,
the
I just got,
for fuck's
oh
sake.
My God, I just got the movie.
You just got
the...
All right, maybe a description here. Perfect Blue.
That's not true.
At least we're consistent.
Totopos.
All right. Totopos. Y'all got some pop? Didn't you get me any?
Bro, we bought this forever ago. He bought that pop for himself.
Oh, okay, of course. By the way, Ralph, do you
he
want
did, he, No, I'm good, man.
Okay.
Well, he did ask me, do you want something? And I was like, no, I'm good.
All right.
Well, do you want a honey bun?
Dude, I love a honey bun.
No, I'm okay. If you're going to eat, though, eat it now, obviously.
I'll eat it in between segments.
There's only one.
This is the in-between.
Thank you. Right?
And he's like... Do you think there's a mouth surgery type that isn't crazy?
No. Anyways.
Okay.
And, like, they needed to, like, put a for while he went to go play the next time the next game or whatever mm-hmm. they needed to put like what's it called like some type of like harness in the fucking mouth to hold the teeth together
like braces
yeah like only like crazy style braces anyways
and crazy played, hockey play
like
braces.
He played like that right and you know he's like yeah so like he was making fun of basketball players specifically LeBron because they hate LeBron okay. And they just like making fun of him. And they were just right. Like, yeah, like, you know, LeBron would be out for, like, two seasons for that fucking injury, right? Like, but you guys are hockey. He's like, I don't want to rag, because he's a Canadian guy. He's like, I don't want to rag on other people, you know?
Yeah, that's why, because he's Canadian.
Right, and he's just like, but he's like, you know, us hockey players are more, you know, we do take, we are more, he didn't say manly, he just said, we are more, you know, like... We could take a hit, like, and come back.
We're less in the pussy category,
right?
We're
that's basically
that,
what they were.
Right?
That's what they were trying to say to that's him. Like, why don't you just say you're more of a man and LeBron's a pussy? He's like, I'm not going to say that. Like, you're not you're not going to get me to say that.
They sound very, very like very antagonistic. These
oh,
people.
Oh, dude, they, that's exactly what they are.
Yeah, I don't think I would like the puff, even if I like sports.
Talking.
That's Mike.
Why are we excited about this?
I just run up in that. It's like a weird vibration.
Yeah. It's a sensitive phallic thing. This is the
what
worst.
Weird vibration.
Like it's
we need a girl in a podcast. We need that's what we need. We need a female perspective here.
I don't feel that.
I need takers out there, and I'm gonna put this in the outtakes.
I don't have the phone.
This is a call out for female, interesting, whatever film critics. Help me
I do
stop
feel
this.
Like Metallica
this
in my mouth,
just you know a little more profesh, little more.
Hey Michelle, you doing anything?
No, she.
You want to go see a movie?
No.
Do you want to build a snowman?
No one I know, preferably. What?
Do you want to build a snowman?
Yes, I would love to.
Do what you do best, just hang out outside of the high school.
No, but like professional.
All right.
You know what? I like to my high school girls. Yeah. I keep getting older. They keep staying the same age.
You haven't even seen that movie.
The fuck you, yes I have. Dazed and Confused. It's a fucking classic.
All right, sure.
Go fuck yourself, you asshat.
It's a classic about a different decade taking place. It's like a period movie. All right. Are we ready?
Dude. I've been ready.
Do you guys like honey buns? Because I love honey buns. So you should donate us some money so we can buy some honey buns. All you,
that's
going to
be the
listeners.
Promo right there.
I can't even eat one. That's how bad it is.
That's the promo.
Come on, listeners. If I could get four of you to donate $1 each after taxes, I could go to 7-Eleven, get the generic 7-Eleven, 2-for-1. No, wait. It's
like
two for three.
What's the name of the 7-Eleven in Mexico, Ralph, in case we have Mexican listeners?
Oxxo.
And
even he knew that.
Well, I forgot. It's been a while. I know it was a
2009.
It's been more of a while for him.
I know it's a palindrome, but I don't fucking know. This is not really valid information in my life.
So anyway, if the four of you listeners can cough up a buck each, you can support me by getting some honey buns.
And yet I remember the assistant key grip in some movie, right? All right.
You're sad.
5-4 3.
Wait,
I like this enthusiasm. We're doing the bonus, okay? 2. Okay. Well, good. You actually listen to me, or you're just used to it. All right. Now, on to our review of The Circle.
Pause. Pause.
So wait, is that pause like pausing like a movie, or is it pause as in like that dog has a cute paw? What were you saying?